It is the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. I believe it's episode 524. Does that sound right, Eric?
Question mark behind that, but I think you're right.
Yeah. Doug, how are
you? Plus or minus.
How are you, Doug?
I'm good.
You look great. Still married?
Not married.
Okay, just check it.
Buy a ring yet?
No. Any more brain busters?
Any more brain busters? Hey, I got something I want to throw out on here.
Throw it.
Maybe this is petty of me. Just to kick off this episode, right?
Yep.
So recently, I'm just kind of went right in for the bullshit before we get to the business. I thought this would be kind of fun to do. Recently, this is like the debacle in the Working Class Bowhunter group with me lately. My family about got ran over by a garbage truck the other morning.
Yep.
On my county road. Came over the hill hauling the fucking mail. And I hear my wife honking and like swerved off the road. Like almost clobbered my wife, my 10-month-old, and my 3-year-old. Like close. To the point where, and I'm pretty chill dude nowadays. Never used to be, but I am now. I was like to my boiling point. Like about ready to either go out and get the garbage guy and pull him out and just have a great conversation with him. Or call the disposal company and let them know what's up. So I opted to stay out of jail and called the disposal company. Well, they recently were basically blamed us for it. I've come to find out their boys are their drivers. So I thought it'd be funny if the Working Class Bowhunter family wants to be a part of an inside joke. I'm like, how could I harmlessly get back at this disposal company? I'm going to put their fucking phone number out there. And if anybody wants to call them and say they saw their fucking driver hit their neighbor's dog, fucking run somebody off the road, hit an old lady crossing the street on her walker. You know, you do you.
Just driving like an asshole.
Driving like an asshole. I'm going to
blast it.
Put their number out. Because basically what they did, they called and basically said, essentially said, fuck you guys. You have to take your garbage all the way down to the county road now. And why would I pay for that? So I thought it'd be funny to give out the number to Peterson's disposal service. Their number is 309-521-8323. Call them and tell them you saw their drivers being assholes. And let us know when you did. And we're going to, I'll personally give away a You Can't Kill Big Bucks If Your Wife Sucks t-shirt. I'll pick out a hat for you and we'll throw some stickers in. Private message us, let us know that you did it. And we'll hook it up. Petty of me, maybe.
Yeah, and
funny.
Tell us what you said too, because I'm interested.
Hey, no,
I'm interested
to see what
people come up with.
If you call, can you screen record and it'll like record your conversation?
There you go.
I don't know.
Send it in, and we can listen to them on there.
But I was thinking, I was like, man, like I don't like that shit anyway. And like the fact that like I'm a busy dude, I'm not just calling to call because I have like I'm not the Karen that's like I got nothing going on in my life. I'm calling you to have something to bitch about.
They almost ran over a bird.
It was fucking close. And when I say close, like I was about ready to make some bad decisions. So I think this would be fun. And I think that the WCB community could have some fun with it. So petty me, maybe.
Y'all are savages.
But I think it's fucking, I've seen the Working Class Bowhunters group on Facebook.
It's funny because that disposal company's going to get phone calls from like New Hampshire and Michigan and all kinds of
what
shit.
What the hell's going on?
Well, I get a call back and they're like, they said no, they saw her and they were just cruising just fine. I'm like, bitch, I saw it. Like, you know? And it's their sons that drive. So it's like, of course, mommy and daddy's little angels do no wrong. So anyway, I think that'd be really hilarious. So we're on to supporting local business. That's what we're doing now. But anyway, that's my that's what's going on in the life of Kurt as of now.
Little rant there.
Anything that'd be funny?
Yeah, I think it'd be funny. I'm just excited to see what people say.
Oh, it's gonna be funny because it's happening.
I didn't tell you guys I was gonna say that. I was wondering if you guys were gonna be on board or not. But
gold jacket, green jacket, who gives a shit? You know,
you guys are more about it than I thought. It's hilarious. So thank you for being here. That being said,
what did you think we were gonna say, Kurt? You can't do that.
Well, Doug's normally like, man, don't do that. Like Doug's kind of well behaved.
Yeah,
Eric doesn't really. You don't really give a shit.
I don't care. Do whatever.
But wouldn't it be funny?
I think it'd be funny.
Nice.
Kinda.
We'll see what happens. Call them up. Let us know. We'll get you in that giveaway. We are officially past 4th of July. This, in my eyes, is the turning point in hunting.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, things are ramping up. This is a fitting episode talking bow hunting league and stuff like that. So start thinking about this type of thing. But let's get into it. Elite Archery, man, if you're shooting your bows, you need to be. We all need to be. We got a hunt coming up the end of this month, Africa, and right. Yeah, so getting ready, get the elites tuned up and rocking.
Yes.
So also big time, fall plots getting prepped in. Borderline is popping. Got some rain the last couple days, which is good.
That's awesome.
And
something's doing well for everyone.
Yeah, I think it is.
From all the snaps I've seen.
Dude, my clover plot is like insane. Like it's crazy. The one I mud seeded is doing really well.
Yeah, mud butt
seeded. But I'm basically going to till and prep and get everything ready. And then when we get back from Africa, I'm planning for main event. Code WCB.
Yeah, I planned on getting my tractor or the farm's tractor and everything into one of my spots. I went and killed it this spring and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Go out there the other day. Only way to get back there is through the waterway. They planted through it this year.
Through the waterway?
Yeah, through the waterway. So that's fun.
They did?
Yeah. So now I'm just going to have to walk everything back there. It's going to be real fun. So that's why Buck Brunch is coming.
That's a far walk, isn't it?
It's pretty far.
Get your bike.
Is that where I helped you that one time?
Look for that deer. Yeah.
That's a pretty far walk.
It's far back there. But you can ride your bike back there with some of your shit.
Through the corn?
Tear it up, baby.
Through the standing corn?
Put some gloves on.
Looks like a deer trail to me.
Get those bark busters on it.
Get a freaking snowplow on the front of that thing.
just get a little like flex draper head for the front of your e-bike.
Should just pay him for the corn and knock it down the first two rows on the fence.
Hey, how much for 2 rows?
Yeah. All the way back there.
Be great for your entry exit.
It would be awesome.
Well, that's a bummer.
I know. I'm hoping the one guy next to us has beans. I haven't talked to him much, but hopefully I can e-bike in there right now because they ain't that tall.
I have my old John Deere food plot tractor for sale. Old. It's the one I had before the one I have now. So if anybody's interested, a little food plot unit. I'm kind of speaking to everybody listening on that too. But
Lee needs one.
Yeah, Lee could buy one.
Yeah, he's got money. Look at him.
Rich.
Look at him.
He's a cult leader.
Our cult leaders are rich.
Lee's in here watching us do our ads. Also, Huntworth camo. We're going to be rocking in Africa. We'll probably end up doing some videos like what we're wearing. It's a real common question. People want to know like the clothing breakdowns. So we're due to come in the studio and break all that stuff down and show off what we're doing. Use code WCB15 for Huntworth. Check out an awesome company. But it's one of the companies that like has us very involved with like decision making and input and stuff like that.
R&D. So,
pretty weird, actually.
It is.
It's cool to be included, you know? So I think everyone, we know a few people that are partnered with Huntworth, and everyone that's partnered with them absolutely loves Huntworth. Yep. Like, and I'm, you know, the product, yes, but even the people on the back end, like, that makes a big difference when you work with a company. Scent Crusher, been working with Scent Crusher for, it seems like, for fucking ever.
Since the beginning, pretty much.
Yeah, it's like, how much good things can you say about the products of Scent Crusher for 7 years, basically.
Right.
It's going to be our suitcase, basically.
It is, 100% the roller bag. I'm going to pack everything in there. That's what I'm using.
That's what I planned on doing.
For everything. So, easy. It's like, we talked about that a lot lately. As much as it's good for scent control, it's just as good for, like, storage.
Yeah. Traveling.
And Old Barn Taxidermy. Dude, we went the other day. I went with Todd, our buddy Todd Anderson. He dropped 5 deer off.
Whoa. That's nuts.
At Old Barn. And Sam gave us like the full blown tour. Now, I've had the tour after hours. I've never had the full tour like during hours.
Right.
And it was, dude, they're changing the game.
See everyone working?
Yeah. Changing the game. And like Sam Gaylord is a very humble guy and a very, he comes off just kind of laid back and nothing's a big deal. And I'll get it done. But the operation that dude runs behind how he puts off that it is like insane.
It's a well-oiled machine there.
It's a very well-oiled machine. But he's like constantly pushing the envelope for like what a taxidermy business is and what it can be.
He wants a one-stop shop is what it seems like. I mean, they pretty much got it now. They got the tannery, the taxidermy. Now, you get your deer process there.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, it's going to be, I mean, pretty much a one-stop shop now.
And what I like about it, too, is, like, they emphasize a lot on, like, customer satisfaction, whereas, like, you go to whatever's taxidermy shop, and it might not be that. It's more just a dude who throws mounts together and sends you out your door. Like, he cares about what you want. Like, if you want something custom, let's do it. You know, like, we want you to be happy with the mount you
get. Throw a form at you, be like, pick a form, give me your money, I'll call you when it's done.
Right.
Yeah.
2 months later, it's done. You're like,
Sam's like, well, what if we did this with with my 8-pointer with the main beams? Like, what if we did this and angle it so you see the blades more when you look at it? I was like, do it.
Good idea. Yeah. That's what's cool about Old Barn in general, man. Just great, great fucking people there, man. Awesome company. And Novix Tree Stands, right there in Peoria, Illinois, literally great. Less than an hour from the studio. Mm-hmm. Just awesome people, American made. They care about their employees. Another thing too, it's like another trend with companies who work with, like, they take pride in what they do. Everybody that works at Novix is fucking awesome. Like, every one of them is awesome.
And they love working there.
Yeah. Like, they take pride in what they do. Yep. And it's cool. You go to Novix, it's like, everybody's got working class stuff on. And like Frank said that people, like some of the people that work there listen to the show, which is even way cool.
While they're working.
Yeah. So Novix Tree Stands, check it out. Code WCB22. That's limited uses. Once it's done, it's done. Right now they do until if you're listening, I think tomorrow their sale ends. It's the only sale they're having all year other than our promo code when it times out. So there's not going to be another deal to like wait all around for. Like, times are changing in American business. And if you want to stay American made, like, you have to be careful with that stuff. So
this time of stuff, time of the year, to get yourself to get used to it and play around with it.
Yep, exactly. And Pull Back and Let Go. Awesome clothing company. Jordan and Kelsey Gensmer run. They also run Angler's Haven Resort and Pink House Neon. They're busy people.
All the time busy.
He's always working.
Always.
Kind of feel bad for him, but he like
enjoys it.
I hope so. But Pull Back and Let Go is an awesome clothing company. Everything they do is high quality. We rock a lot of their stuff. Mm-hmm. So check them out. Tell them we sent you. Let's get on with the episode. Veteran shout-out by Bowhunting League. Doug, you're off the hook this one.
Yep. Luckily.
Didn't need your hooked on Fahenix.
I brought it. Just in case.
Well, it's pre-K, level 2, ages 3 to 4, so you should be about done.
Yeah, I tried helping them, and they didn't want it for some reason.
All right, well.
Try helping a guy, but
you're off the hook. Hope you enjoy this episode. Thanks for being around for us rambling. All right, hey, we got Bowhunting League doing this week's veteran shout-out. We meant to do it in the episode, so we're doing this in post. So I'm going to let these boys take it away since they don't know how to do intros.
Yeah, so Tim Smokes, a Army veteran. He was Special Forces, huge, huge bow hunter. Hardcore turkey, hunts all over the United States. Member of the Bowhunting League, devoted member, so... Appreciate him.
And
appreciate
a badass name.
Badass name. Could you imagine having that name?
Tim Smoke? I'd abuse it.
Yeah. Tim Smoke, huge shout out. Appreciate your service, man. Great member of the Bowhunting League, and appreciate your service to the country.
Appreciate your service, man. Thank you.
I'm Chase Rolson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody. It's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys. This is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast. It's episode 520 something, I think, still. Don't really know. Kurt Geyer speaking.
Eric Common.
Doug Schmidt.
We'll just roundtable with our guests since they're in studio here from Bowhunting League. We'll just start from the left and work our way around so you can learn their sweet voices.
Ben Harrison.
Chad Hepner.
Daniel Porter.
Thanks for being here, fellas.
Yeah.
Glad to be here.
You seem really excited, all of you, like that you're just real thrilled to be here. So, thanks.
After they just drove 5 hours?
Yeah. They're all just like all quiet. Yep. All right. We're here.
Fired up.
Hepner's got enough excitement for all of us.
They're all like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
We'll dig into it as the podcast goes. But no, we appreciate you guys making the haul out here to be in studio with us. I think it always makes for a much better episode than on the phone.
Like, definitely.
Phone sure. Can do the job, right? But
some of them making the haul 2 weeks from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. You came to the shoot.
Yep. Me and you guys both came to the shoot and had a good time with it. And definitely wanted to check that out this year. So, yeah, y'all had a... he had a good time, and we had a nice bar tab at the end of the deal, so that was nice.
We did drink a lot of beer.
It's always good to
just a little
to rub elbows with some like-minded individuals, and exactly. The way the shoot was set up was awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of intimate. Know? Everybody kind of gets to know each other and stuff, so it's what we're about. We like it. We like the intimacy. We like to get close, you know? Especially
right.
Doug.
Right up on you.
Right up in you. On you. Sorry.
He Jesus. Was beside me a lot that night.
Was he? Trying to get in you.
It was my birthday.
It was my birthday.
I don't blame you.
He's trying to get lucky, you know?
I'm definitely the pick of the litter, too.
So. Right. So what's new, fellas?
Man, just cranking it out. This is our 8th deer contest. We got rolling right now, and I'd like to tell everybody about that and getting everybody signed up for that. And lots of professional development with this year. We have submissions through the website and lots of badass prizes for guys to win. So,
Let's do that. Let's break down what Bow Hunting League is in case someone doesn't know or didn't hear the last episode you guys were on. And then let's just talk about what you're doing from there. That way no one's lost in the weeds before we even get moving.
Yeah, we'll give you the cliff notes, and then I'll have Porter clean up on
everything you missed.
Whatever you forgot.
Yeah, everything I missed. But we got started in 2015. We started with 9 teams. It was just a free deer hunting hunting contest. Mm-hmm. Reading the room, I guess. We got going with that and just basically wanted to do it our way. There were other competitions we were in on forums and stuff, mm-hmm. and we noticed that you get signed up with a group of guys. It was great for meeting people and stuff, and the problem was you get in there and everybody wasn't as committed as we were.
Yeah,
you know, and it's me and my buddies decided to start this thing, and I ran everything, and I said, hey, we can create our own, build our own teams and be competitive. I think it'd be fun to push each other and try to win something.
Mm-hmm.
And fast forward to now, last year we had 790 teams sign up, had over $50,000 in prizes, and it has turned into a massive camaraderie and networking event for everyone that's involved, and as well as the winners can win some awesome prizes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So free contest.
Mm-hmm. That's a major.
Yeah.
Yep.
Free.
That's something that we're going to boast and we're going to continue to do for the rest of it.
So how much is it?
It's a big free fitty.
Okay.
Yep.
Free 99.
Yep. Free 99.
That's good.
In case you miss that, it's free.
Five finger discount for some people.
Yeah.
3-member contest. You can sign up with anyone from anywhere in the United States. Your top buck from the season is going to be combined with your teammates. Overall biggest score is going to win the competition. What are you looking at?
Continuous upgrades.
Continuous upgrades.
$3.99.
So if you poach, you can add that to the list.
We've got a very special place for poachers.
It's not in the competition.
Out. But no, it's been a lot of fun. Last year we had almost 75,000 inches added. That's between $550. So here's something that's a little bit crazy. That was 133-inch average for each buck entered.
Wow.
So even if people are off by like 5%, that's still 555 hypothetical Pope and Young bucks.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's awesome.
And that's from all across the United States. I would say we probably had 37, 38 different states enter bucks.
Oh, so, yeah. We had 38 state winners. And everything we do now is through the website. At first, we were dependent on Facebook and trying to message people, and I knew immediately that was like a dead end.
It's going
to
time out.
Yeah.
Hey, let's be honest. Facebook fucking sucks.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'm on Facebook restriction right now for just talking about the angle a guy shot a deer at. I don't share conspiracy theories or cuss anybody out or anything.
You're not Alex Jones and everybody out there.
I talked about the angle.
Shout out to Alex Jones, man.
Let's get him on.
Dude, I'd love to.
it'd be awesome. Is he local?
Probably. He probably lives in New Windsor. They're killing fucking babies, Joe Rogan.
He's like freaking out.
It's like, I wonder why he's banned.
He's probably on the ground right now doing something.
Dude, I'd love to meet the guy. Yeah. Sorry, side thing we just did.
No, I'm down. But
I'm down.
But we get, you know, we just knew that it was not the way we needed to continue. So
for sure.
We've got everything. Everything's through the website now. So anybody that's listening, a lot of guys have abandoned Facebook and social media all together.
Yeah.
But they still have hunting buddies. Just go to bowhuntingleague.com, sign your team up. It's extremely easy to do that. You'll have the rules. They're posted. You get an automatic email sent to your email address telling you, hey, confirmation of your sign up. Way more professional than we were in the past. And then throughout the season, when you kill a buck, you just go on there, submit your buck, drop in your JPEGs, and you're done. So it's way more professional, a lot easier to participate. For people that like social media and like to interact with other folks, you know, trying to network and stuff, they can join our Facebook group. It has doubled in size since the last time that we were on here.
No kidding. So, that's impressive.
So it's, you know, and
a little over a year.
Yep. About a year.
And it's so simple that Doug can do it.
Yeah.
So
I did.
If he's not watching birds, he can figure it out.
He did really well last year. When he started shooting stuff, you just had to, did you even have an arrow knocked?
No.
In the stand until you decided to shoot him?
I was trying to feed a bird out of my hand.
Yeah. Audubon Society, are you?
Don't let Ben talk shit. He shot a midget deer, and we can get to that later.
We'll talk about that later.
That's midget is very offensive. They want to be referred to
little
as little
people.
I shot a little people.
You shot a little deer.
An LP.
Before Ben runs down this, though, so, I mean, it's not just a contest. We are trying very hard to hold a community, and that's super buzzy in the hunting industry. Everyone's using that, but, like, Come to the page, and you'll see why it is a community.
Yeah, well, when the community's real, that's what it is.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, we support each other. You can come in with your first deer. It could be the smallest deer that you've ever killed. It could be a 252-inch Ohio buck. Shout out to Matt Brunswick. We're going to love on it regardless. Mm-hmm. You're going to get all kinds of attention. You know, we're there to celebrate the bow kill with you. Beyond that, we don't allow bullying. We'll allow some ribbon and stuff like that, but we will.
There's a line for sure.
There is, and it's a clean page. I try to look at that where if some 14-year-old kid wanted to sign up and his mom was watching the page to make sure it was all right, she'd be comfortable with it.
Right.
And I think we've done a really good job with that.
It's a good perspective to take on it, too.
We've got a lot of kids that have been signing up, and that's super awesome to me. So. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
As a dad with two daughters, 14 and 16, I know every time I go to the Bow Hunting League page, I can rest assured, you know, there's not going to be anything on there that's offensive to them. Or,
except for when this podcast gets posted.
Yeah.
Explicit because they're going to listen to it because dad's on, too. Yeah.
He cussed too much. Our bad. Sorry.
One of our top members of the Facebook group is my mom. She's always like, nice buck. And like,
you got that top fan badge.
We were talking about it. And I was like, Mom, I could add you to the group. She's like, you think I'd be all right? I was like, Mom, I don't care. Like, I mean, you can get in there.
Your
and
mom's just bullying people in the group.
She's shoot me texts. Like, did you see what that guy said? I'm like, no. She's cool, man. She's down to earth about it. And
good.
That's what it is. I mean, it's like, there's a lot of parents that have their kids shooting the one shot, and you know, the kids don't have Facebook, but they found out about it. Like, well, my kid likes to shoot a bow, and they can build confidence that way.
Mm-hmm. What is the one shot?
So the one shot is
great question.
Hey, you want to tell us what the one shot is?
Yeah, I'm gonna kick back. Yeah. This is nice.
I'll give Chad a little moment.
Oh, they're just interviewing each other right now.
I know. This point. Like, the one shot is Facebook Live, which a lot of people are deathly afraid of that Facebook Live button. So once you hit it, you basically show a video, live Facebook Live video of a clean target face, showing that there's no arrow in the target, and then go back to whatever range was predetermined for that week's shoot, and then shoot an arrow. If you shoot a bullseye, then you continue to shoot until you miss the bullseye, whatever that is, and then you measure the distance from the outer edge of the bullseye to the arrow, and then so it's XX, you know, let's say if you hit the bullseye twice, you get two X's, and then whatever the distance is from the outside edge of the bullseye to the outer edge of the arrow.
So say you shoot 4 inches out, so it's XX4.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
I like that.
It's pretty awesome.
It's virtual 3D shooting.
Yes, but the Facebook Live button will jack you up. I mean, it's
make you shoot worse than you normally would have. Yeah, it's like that.
It will. It's like,
how do you know?
You've got a bunch of viewers.
Do you know from experience?
Yeah.
Ask me how I know.
Exactly. I did pretty good on the 80-yarder last year. I think I won that week last year. But
is it a new distance every week?
Yeah, we change it up. We do we do everything from a specified distance of like short range. You know, just say, hey, it's chip shot week. Sometimes we do a dice round. It's funny that I thought that was dice and not something else. You know, that motion means other things, but but anyway,
that's a different live.
That's a different live.
Pornhub live.
But anyway, he's pretty close on the play. But we do the dice round, and that's cool. So you just roll a single die twice, and then you get your distance that way. And we'll do an endurance round, so you like bump up 5 yards every time you hit an X, and it's pretty cool. But it's mostly just to get people to shoot their bows. I mean, just like you guys say all the time, go shoot your bow. It's a real thing, because to be an ethical hunter, you need to use your equipment, practice. But a lot of times it's, you know, it's not our form or anything. The problem is the actual equipment. Like if you haven't updated, you know, haven't replaced your loop in 2 years, you know, next thing you know, like, oh, shoot 3 arrows, you know, October 15th, I'm good. And, you know, November 7th, you're sitting there, draw back on a 160, and your loop breaks.
Yeah.
And that gets all those kinks out of the way, and you can tell if your equipment's bad.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah. By using it.
And so that little bit of yardage or that competition you guys do will get people motivated to get out there and shoot.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a filler. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the turkey contest, which is a team turkey
way to keep people on the ball in your group. It's smart, man.
You know, just all, we always have something going on.
By the way, that turkey contest, I'll never enter that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Eric.
Why is that, Eric?
Just saying.
Why is that?
Fuck turkeys.
turkeys are great.
But it's just, you know, it's like thing, like we just figured out, hey, you know, this would be fun to do this. And DA runs a elk contest. Also, so there's a team elk contest.
Damn cool. The elk contest is neat.
And, you know, that's another way for guys like, hey, I drew a tag from in Wyoming. I'm traveling from Pennsylvania. And they may actually meet somebody to hunt with or to, you know, maybe bounce ideas off of while they're out there. So it's kind of like, hey, I'm hunting elk this year. And can somebody help me? And there's going to be somebody in there that can probably help them.
Yeah,
so
very cool. That's exciting.
Yeah. A lot
that's
going
one
on.
Of the really cool things about the bow hunting league is, you know, a lot of us growing up, we remember going to the check stations back in the day and weighing in the deer. And then, you know, after we checked in our deer, if we were lucky enough, then you just kind of hung out for the rest of the day just to see what everybody else brought in. And you get that same kind of deer camp feel with this group. And that's why I'm here. You know, I just, I'm a used up football player that can't compete in that realm anymore. So this is a way that us old guys with gray hairs in our beard can still compete with the young bucks and, you know, occasionally get lucky and hold our own a little bit.
You're from Illinois, right?
Yes, sir.
Born and raised?
No, I'm actually from Virginia.
Did they have the check-in stations there?
We did. Yes, sir.
So I think you guys had them too, right?
Up till 2000 and shit. 2005 maybe 2004
because we never had that in Iowa.
Oh wow,
really?
Yeah,
it was Tennessee. We had check-in stations all the way.
I thought it was just an Illinois thing. Just from him talking about it.
Yeah, you had a little you had a little card you filled out. It was like what's the
when did that
paper,
game
like
check card?
Yeah, like
game
you,
check.
Well, you'd have your copy, and then you'd have the carbon copy that was left for the.
West Virginia, Virginia, those two for sure had it, you know, all the way through probably mid to late 90s,
really?
Maybe even into the early 2000s. Virginia just went to an online check system within the last 10 years, but black bears still have to be checked at an official game check.
Yeah, they do in Wyoming also. Yeah. I was trying to just see if I could pull up a quick Google search on when
Yeah, because growing up hunting with me, it was always, you know, you had a six-digit number or whatever that you'd have to turn into the DNR, and you could do that all online.
Yeah, over the phone.
Yep. You just have to call in and type in the number, you know, on your keypad, but then eventually when smartphones came around, you could do it all online. Now you can do it off straight from the app that they have.
Yeah, the app's awesome, actually. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit, going back to bow hunting league, like the what was like to be in the top 10, what was like the average that a deer had to be? Because that's a shit ton of teams, yeah. And it has got to be a big
so
boy.
So we had 790 teams last year. I believe our top 10 was over
450.
Yeah, it was over 150. It was like right at 150.
That's impressive.
That is
it's
impressive.
It's hard as hell for three guys to kill three big deer.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Ross.
I mean, it's you know, Ross. Like, I don't know where I was at on the notification stuff. You know, you have this call list. You know, when you kill a deer, you're calling people, right? But he sends me this message, and I haven't looked at it since then. But he said something like, "Yeah, I shot one," and it wasn't like. And I was like, "Well, what's up?" And he's like, "Yeah, something about like it wasn't like the biggest or whatever." And he's like, "And I was like, well, it's old, you know."
It was an old monarch, but
yeah, it was an old deer. And the whole listen to him talk about it on the podcast and stuff, and like, "Hey, here's the situation."
He had no shot.
He had, yeah. And there was another one like right there. I mean,
let me fill everybody in. We've talked about it before. So our team was like Team Illinois WCB, and it was me, Chandler, Ross.
Yep.
I killed a 167. Mm-hmm. Austin kills like a 166. And we're like doing the math.
Austin had the, he had the 189.
Yeah. Forgot he got the upgrade.
Yeah.
So he had whatever it was. Yeah. 190 ish. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it ended up entering as. Forgot about that. He did update. So that's what boosted us.
Y'all were way up.
So we were like
175 average. Let's just call it that.
Yes.
Wow. Be conservative.
So we were sitting way up and we're like, you know, we were for fun. Like, I don't really give a shit if I win or not. It's,
yeah. I mean, it's just, yeah.
But it's kind of fun. Like, when you're close, you're like, come on, Ross. Like, Ross has killed three,
well, 200.
Had
it all figured out. You need 133 and a quarter inch deer to win.
Well, what happened was we were at ATA show first weekend of January.
Yep.
And Ross is hunting because he still had an unfilled tag. And me and Austin are at the show. And Ross is sending us, hey, there's like a 135 inch 10 out here, but he's kind of young. And we're like, that would win it. Like, win the league if you kill that. And he sends us
Ross, though.
No, he sends us picture of it at like at like 40 yards looking up at him. I'm like, kill the fucking thing, you know. And then he ends up shooting some old brute with one side that was like 96 inches or 97 inches or something.
Yeah.
And so we didn't,
you know. But and what was funny is
funny though,
you know, Austin, I have no idea what his top five is, but that's definitely one in his top five.
It's his biggest archery buck.
Yeah, that's what, and awesome. So like, and then you shoot a stud, you two studs, and you know he's killed. You know, y'all are up over here upgrading and stuff, and I'm thinking Ross is their ringer.
Yeah,
like I was like, they're in the. This is exactly how it's supposed to happen.
And he's usually the late season ringer too.
You know, he had, you know, obviously he has other commitments and other priorities, you know. He's hunting that time of year,
but he hunted like 2 days in November legit.
He gets, he's the ringer, and I'm like, there's no way that they don't win. And I was like, this is crazy, because we come in here and I'm like, they're gonna talk so much shit
if they win,
like, for the whole year. And I was like, man, they're gonna, and the
nice, you know, league you got here.
Yeah, nice league you guys got here.
Yeah, this is great. Real fun.
Freaking joke. We're never getting this again.
Hey, when we had you guys on last year, you said there's other podcasts in the group, and you were going to see who could be the king of the podcast that year. And I don't know if we were or not, but we didn't get any recognition for it. So we're just going to sit back with our feet up next year.
Yeah.
Team Iowa didn't do bad either.
Yeah. You guys did pretty damn good.
Didn't do bad at all.
So what we're displaying right now is the harmless camaraderie shit giving that can happen, that's allowed, and how fun it is. Like, it's not I didn't give a shit if we got last. I don't care. But
it's been pretty funny.
It's been funny to win.
Funny. 0 inches to zero. I've never did that thing again.
But it also would,
I shot a doe.
It would have been fun to win it just to say we did it for like fake bragging rights. But also, it's like, I wouldn't change it because it's a pretty funny story of like that close. And then the 200 inch killer kills a buck less than 100 inches. Right. It's like, if we didn't win, that's kind of how I'd want it to go.
It'll be flip flop this year.
None of us will kill anything.
You and Austin won't shoot anything. And Ross will kill like a 220.
He'll kill a 400-inch deer.
just win it for hold on, one deer entered and he wins.
Jesus. Yeah. Well, it's a good time. But that's just like kind of the fun it can add. And look, we talked on the last one, man. I'm pretty adamant of not adding more pressure to hunting pressure that I already put on myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really think adding competition. This is where I'm going to give you guys praise here, like building into this. I'm not into really making it more of a competition other than it needs to be between you and the deer. It's a personal thing. Because of like so much ego that's in the outdoor industry, you got like dickheads poaching for bigger antlers, so they look like the man. Social media, I think, can be a very positive influence on hunting, but a lot of times it's very negative. Like, the negative influence screams way louder than the positive. Mm-hmm. So I was worried that, and we talked through this the last episode, I was worried that this could make that worse, and you guys have done a really good job of not letting that happen. So praise to you guys for that hard work.
Appreciate that. We put a lot of work behind the scenes to stay. It's a strategic vision.
Are you consciously always kind of trying to limit that negative social influence, I guess?
So I'll watch posts, and I hate to say it, but I don't. If a buck gets posted and there's blood everywhere and, you know, they're just doing something kind of weird, I'll delete it.
Yeah, you have to, right?
Mm-hmm. And then when I reshare people's stuff, it's very well posed. It is just a good representation of what we should be doing. I try to make it like the standard, like, hey guys, look at this picture. Look how awesome this is. And then they start coming in like that. So we go very hard to keep the page clean and to not put out that competition image. Again, I keep saying it's a community. Yeah. It's a network.
Yeah.
It's
before we make any decision too, things go through three or four levels of screening.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just like DA was saying, like, hey, you know, I don't know about this. Like, we have a Facebook mods group. He says, hey, did y'all look at that? What do you think? Or he'll say something like, hey, I see somebody's giving somebody shit.
Me.
Well, yeah. He's like, y'all, does anybody know them? And I'll say, I was like, yeah, that's Damien Riffle giving Clay Thurman shit, and he deserves it. And he'd be like, oh, okay, that's fine.
Like, they're buddies. Yeah, like, yeah, that's cool. Buddies.
Yeah. Right. You know, and that, so, like, but understanding, like, and he won't, but a lot of times what he'll do is, like, he'll even PM somebody. If somebody's kind of, like, poking at somebody, he'll say, hey, do you know this person? Like, yeah, no, okay.
Never met him.
And just let him go. Like, it's not like, we're not trying to be overlords or anything.
Right.
But we just try to keep, like, a decent environment. But at the same time, like,
dude, running our group is a pain, and that's why I have Judd do it.
Yeah.
You guys have way more interaction in your group than we have in ours.
Yeah, but it's cool. It's, y'all have a lot of the similar things. Like,
we did delete every post.
Yeah.
All the comments. Yeah,
I don't know if any of you guys are in that group, but.
Yeah.
My mom's on that page.
Yeah. I'm going to add my mom to y'all's group.
This is what it could be.
Lord have mercy.
She's over there.
My mom is so innocent, too, man. Like, she is, like, you know, just a pure soul. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I'm like, I did like kind of take my breath a little bit. Like, I don't know. Like, she needs to be in there, but it's fine. It's good.
Oh, my mom listened to 500, and I'm like,
yeah, dude. Doug's mom listened to episode 500.
That was rough.
For the record, I told my in-laws not to listen to this episode, which I may tell them later, but to listen to it. But I just told them don't listen to it.
Oh man, so, this is fun.
Yeah,
come on.
We're good. You don't need their downloads, but yeah, like,
it'd be nice.
Yeah, it must be nice. But like, I kind of want to say something about Heppner over here. So like, I met Chad Heppner.
He's firing him.
Yeah. At the showdown. At the showdown. I met him at the showdown and we had it in 2020.
What is the showdown?
So the showdown is the top 10 King of Tons. And the
you
top,
want a job?
Yeah, he's really good, and he's got a very fair wage for me.
Yeah,
it's the same cost for to get in the competition. Yeah.
The guy, like, and
that's nice.
We'll pay you like $10 a month. Yeah. I mean, you're ahead there, right?
It's good free work. Swag.
It's like $120 bucks a year if you do the math. I think.
So we have this end of the year hunt, okay? And this year it should be in Arkansas, which is centrally located. Dang near everybody can get to it. Pigs and deer are in season.
Bad spot, but
yeah, it's not it's
better in Florida.
The timing, yeah, better in Florida. God dang it, like Florida's
toughest
terrible.
Deer you'll ever hunt.
But I met Chad and 12 other guys at the showdown, and Chad's just got so much energy and stuff. I'm like, dude, like.
Was it love at first sight?
It was. Like, immediately. Like, you walk in, he's 6'4", you know, what were you then, 245?
I usually don't divulge my weight on the first date.
I'd rather not. 255.
But you get in there, and, like, you get around, like, I know y'all have all been friends for a while, and, you know, like, y'all know each other's speed. Well, you get thrown into a house with 10 other killers, like all these guys that killed 3 or 4 bucks for the year.
That you never met before.
Right. You never met them before. Everybody gets in there and everybody meets each other at the same time. It's just absolute madness. And it's just stories upon stories. And you know, when you leave, you've got 2 or 3 guys like you really connect with, and like you've got friends and people that you can hunt with. And
yeah.
And like I was just thinking, like on the ride over here, I was like, you know, I know Hepner's hunting with guys, you know, in the bow hunting league this year. I hunt with DA every year. DA's coming to Tennessee hunt with Powell. There's so many, like, just in us three, there's like 6-7 hunts traded throughout the year.
That's cool.
And yeah. And these things happen all the time in the group, but especially at that showdown when you get guys that know how to kill deer. That are
how do you get to the showdown?
Yeah, so let me do this for you, because you already had your shot.
Go with this.
DA just said, hey, you fucked this up already.
You're out.
Hey,
how do you get to the showdown?
So the bow hunting league contest is a 3-man concept, so it's the team concept. But we run this as the individual part of the contest. So if you're one of those people, you go to multiple states every year to just grind it out, this is for you. So every buck that you shoot legally goes to your overall combined score. We do the top 5 bucks. Excuse me. The person with the most points wins King of Tines. The top 10 people in that rundown get invited to the showdown. We have done Florida for the last 2 years, and I guess we're doing Arkansas now. So Ben was saying that everyone go, you know, we do
we can
this,
shoot does there.
We do this vectored thing where we talk to everyone before we make decisions. Ben flies off the handle and just, I guess we're going to Arkansas now. Surprise. But you
didn't even know this.
You were actually invited this year. You crushed it. You had a good season.
I did make it, which was cool as fuck. I think I got 10th
yep.
or 9th. Like I just made it, right? So that's cool. But thank you. Something was going on. I was out of town.
You were at a show. I'm pretty sure it was right. It was either right after a show. I think it was sandwiched between two.
Yeah, and my wife would have killed me. She didn't tell me no, but honestly, I would have been a vegetable the whole time.
No, we were at a show, I believe.
It's a really good
I think
good
it was
time.
I think he's right. It was a free weekend between two shows, and I was like, I could go, but I would be useless.
So what's interesting is, like, these are 10 strangers, and you got to always figure there's, like, a weird one or the creepy one.
Yeah, I would have been the weird dude, because everyone would have been like, what's wrong with this guy? Because I wouldn't have been me,
don't invite
you know?
But, yeah, but when you get in this group, everyone's like-minded. You're this weird strong person that's like, I could call up some of these guys right now and be like, let's drive to Alaska, and they're like, bet, let's go.
See, that's cool.
Yeah, and it's awesome. And then
that's what I missed out on, and that's like,
we would have got you to open up, Kurt, at McGuire's Irish Pub.
Dude, I would have opened up, but you don't understand, when we're in the middle of our show, I mean, you saw us at Indiana. Yeah, we're still pretty fresh in Indiana, but.
Yeah, but those things, I could just imagine, like, just me standing there. I was at the booth for about 30 minutes probably.
Mm-hmm.
I was wore out when I got done with the, I mean,
it's a different type of exhaustion.
And it's just over and over, like, you know, somebody comes up to you, hey, man, episode 456, you interviewed this guy. That was a great one. And you're like, what? Like, what episode was that?
I don't remember what I did 4 hours
ago.
That's right.
And it's, and
just nod your head and wave.
Well, and it's just dealing with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Just wear you out. I mean,
well, you want to be mentally attentive to everybody because it's fair.
Absolutely. Right, right. You love everybody.
You
right?
do.
If somebody's coming, if somebody comes up to you and they're a listener, or you know, they've heard, or they want to know about it, like, what is this? Like, you want to give them the world. Yeah.
100%.
And that's kind of how, like, we are. You know, I probably have 30 people reach out to me, at least 30 people a week reach out to me about something. Mm-hmm. It's a one shot deer contest, something. And I want to help them as much as I can. DA has the same thing happen.
I was going to say 30 a day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, yeah, I mean, I'm backing down, and you know, 97% of these people are great people.
Yeah.
Cause
they're not meaning any harm by hitting you. Right. Up. Yeah.
And they're like outstanding people. They're good fathers. They're good hunters. They're diehard, land managers, all these things, you know, like you got all these things, but you know, and that 97% makes it worth it.
Oh yeah, for
and,
sure.
And so that's why you. But yeah, I don't know how y'all did that. The run that y'all did this year. I don't know if that's sustainable at all.
Not forever, probably not. But we dropped two this next year.
That helps.
We're not well. Things could change. Because we
let's just say we didn't say we're going to add any more, and we did.
We added one. We added two more for the fall.
Yep.
We have one in August, one in September, which will.
Oops.
One's Illinois Deer and Beer. I think we're going to do Bonanza, which is in Dubuque. But we're not doing PA next year because we had 12, 13 days
Harrisburg. Invested.
Yeah, it's brutal.
That's a big show.
Plus a 2,700 hours driving out there.
Yeah, and then I don't think we're going to do Lincoln, Nebraska because it's like right after ATA, and then we're basically gearing up for like we're going to go back to Indianapolis, the show that we saw you at, mm-hmm. one of our favorite shows, like different structure, but it was a great show.
Mm-hmm. So being the merch guy, that was a stressful couple of months.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, you're wanting to experience the same things that these guys are too. You know, you're wanting to have these conversations and just, you know, talk shit with guys, but you're busy stocking stuff and
oh yeah,
and
just keeping track of everything.
You know, it's just yeah.
Yep.
I'm at two different places at one time.
Like one out of every three people that come up to the booth are buying something.
Right.
You know, so it's... Yeah. Yeah,
shout out to everybody who bought stuff from us at trade shows.
Dude, I'm telling you, even at the shoot, it was just constant. You know, that shows you definitely have a lot of value that you're providing. You know, it's like guys are just hanging out when they listen to the podcast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way I felt like listening to the one with T-Bone. Oh, yeah. I felt like I hope I get to meet the guy sometime.
He's the best.
Because that's what I hear. And one thing that I really appreciated about what he said, he's like, dude, I get on all these podcasts. He's like, I'll do them all.
Yeah.
He's like, I love them.
Mm-hmm.
And he does.
He does. Like, he genuinely does.
And mm-hmm. like, you know, he just, and that's something that he portrayed even when he was doing his shows and stuff when I was watching him when I was younger and stuff and watching
road them. Trips.
Yeah. Road trip that's, stuff. I'm like, you know, that guy seems real, you know, but we made a lot
when everyone says he's the best in the biz, he is.
Yeah. He's the coolest.
Amen.
Guy. Yeah.
Amen. The coolest dude.
But deer contest signups are right now.
I'm signed up.
Yep, you guys are signed up.
Oh, you guys are signed up.
Did you spell your name right?
I fucked up my own name.
How'd you do that?
Yes.
How'd you do that?
I was
signed up late.
I was. I'm constantly in a hurry.
Spell with a K. Yeah. Old fashioned.
No, I like. I don't know what I did. Old fashioned's probably. But I was like.
One eye in it.
I don't look at the keyboard when I type, and I was like looking and then submitted it.
It wasn't today, was it? Because you asked me about drinking a little early today.
I did start drinking at 2:00 today. Okay, Eric, way to call me out on the podcast.
Hey, I'm just saying.
Eric.
I'm just saying.
I said, hey, what's company policy about drinking during the week? He's like, well, since it is the middle of the week, you can't drink before 2:00. It's 1:58.
It was 2 minutes. Back in the
beard. I said, because it's Wednesday, but we can fudge it a little bit.
Yeah, it's hump day.
2 minutes, yeah.
So that's our life. But yeah, I signed up our team. I misspelled my name, realized it, corrected it. Through your guys' amazing automated, I don't know if it's automated, but the new sign up form mm-hmm. was.
You go in there and edit that thing.
Yeah, so I fucked that up. But anyway, Team Illinois WCB trying to bring it back. I won't make King of Tines this year. I already know that.
You might win the biggest bowl and get a sweet prize.
I guess I'm not entered in that, though.
Well, so we're going to start sign ups for that July 1st. We'll end it in August. 5-man teams. If you don't have people to go with, we'll pair you up with someone. Top team wins a prize. Top bull wins a prize.
Let me do awesome. Some digging. See if I got 5 elk hunting idiots. I'm sure Clint would do it with me.
Elk hunting idiots.
He's a strong pull. I don't know if he got a tag or if he's going to do
it.
He's a muley guy more than elk, though.
Yeah. I got a question
Trey
for
Heiner
people that might not know.
Mm-hmm.
So can you only enter whitetails?
So you can have...
Great question.
Good
whitetail
question.
Whitetail entries, yeah. Muley entries, blacktail entries, coos deer entries. So we have a
Siri?
Yeah, Siri.
Fuck off, Siri.
we have adjustments to the score based off Pope and Young minimums. So, like, mm-hmm. for instance, the Pope and Young minimum on a net entry for a typical deer is 125 for whitetail. The entry for a mule deer is 145. So we automatically deduct 20 inches from the muley entries. And we adjust all of them based off of their minimum. I think
blacktails plus 20, right?
Yeah, blacktails plus 20. And I think coos is
45.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's like 45. So.
Let's go to Arizona. Yep.
That's cool that you guys thought about that with different species to add or subtract, whatever.
I can't claim that I'm that I thought of that on my own or anything. I ripped it from another contest. I saw they did that.
So. It's business, baby.
just copy people.
You're not a mathologist.
But I was like, that's a good idea.
Hey, Ben's poaching over here. You know what I'm saying?
Poaching ideas.
Yeah. He's got to kick himself out of the group.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
So you were tell your mom.
Hey, if you caught myself wearing that, I'd have to kick my own ass.
You were talking about the website and how easy it is to sign up now. So we're always refining. This is year 8, and you learn new things every single year. So, yeah, we got an automated sign up, but let's talk about prizes. Last year, we tried doing weekly prizes for the top buck, top monthly prizes, top 10 prizes. We refined it really well this year. We're already up to 8 bows that we're giving away.
Awesome.
And we're about to add 2 more.
Yep, that's awesome. About to add 2 more.
For just random competitions. It's awesome. We've got our top 10 blocked out. The minimum prize is $1,500 for, I think, the 10th position. And it keeps it clean because trying to keep track of, 52 different contests all over, it's a lot. So
yeah,
we're growing. We're getting smarter. Some of you are probably listening to this and you're like, well, I hunt in Vermont. I'm not going to win this.
Yeah, you probably won't. I'm just kidding.
Good luck to move.
Sorry. Didn't help your case.
So some of the things that we always kind of come back to is like, one, it's a community. Come have fun. Come hang out.
You're right. That's what it's about.
And you never know. Your teammates might shoot 200-inch studs. The other thing
is... Get 2 teammates from Iowa.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
We've also got top bucks for every state, which what are we giving away for every state right now?
So we have Zinger Fletches.
Heard good things about them and the people there.
Yeah, they're fantastic, and that's the thing. Like they jumped right when they launched, they were in our group and stuff. And Steve reached out to me, "Hey, I'd like to sponsor One Shot." I'm like, "Oh, these like my immediate reaction was like, ugh. Like I mean, I was just like this gimmicky. I fletch my own arrows. Like, yeah. I don't need this. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I was sitting there So he sent some to me, and then he sent some out to the winner, and I'm like, these are very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was just thinking about like
that's what you had at your setup at the shoot.
Yep.
I think our buddy Garrett Goodwin shoots them as well.
He does. He's actually a dealer for him, and Zinger Fletches, Black Widow Innovations broadheads. So the guys are going to win broadheads, Zinger Fletches.
We're up to 35 states that. Top buck gets a free shoulder mount.
I mean, that's
pretty cool.
The thing is, you look at the cost of how much. I mean, good luck finding a shoulder mount, a quality shoulder mount for less than $700 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Old Barn Taxidermy, one of y'all's guys y'all work with, they're a sponsor for Iowa. So, I mean, somebody's going to win a shoulder mount from Iowa.
Easy.
Oh, sorry.
Doug, you got to donate that one.
That's cool. I guess, I think I knew that. that's cool. Old Barn stepped in.
It was literally like, we just reached out to him, like not anything associated with you guys.
Yeah.
Like,
you name drop. We know.
Yeah.
He told us.
That's all right. Like, a reference.
Do you know who these people are? Are they real? You know, but
like, no. Just, I feel bad for the guy. Give him a shoulder mount for his little deer competition.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that little tiny deer competition he's got.
What's the best way to get him to quit messaging me? Like, just give him out. Okay.
His little deer competition. You got it. Yeah. Make him go away.
Give him one, we'll pay for it.
Yeah. Get him
out. Way to float the bill.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
But going back to that Vermont person, I mean, so there's a couple options right there. No, you're good.
I forgot where we started.
So the other one, too, is every entry this year, no matter what size the buck is, you get put in for an opportunity to win a bow. That one's a...
Matthews V3X from Okie Land Pro Shop.
Yep.
Brian Chapman.
We're just cool. We're breaking it out into so many different things. There's three trad guys that are going to win a bow. Top team's going to win three bows. And then we've got some other ones in the work. But
yeah,
that's cool, man.
It's
a lot of good stuff.
And the way it's growing, so like you would think that like a bow company would be like, hey, I want to be your sponsor. That isn't how it's working.
Mm-hmm.
We have real estate agents. We have pro shops.
Yeah.
We have guys that own their own businesses. You know, just we've had construction mm-hmm. companies like, hey, I'll throw a gift card in on this. They're not going to see any like
kickback
ROI that. They just love it. And that's the same reason like the, you know, our top buck prize this year is three PSE flagships. You know, everybody knows PSE has a fantastic carbon bow. It's a $2,000 bow. But he is doing that just because he loves it.
Yeah.
He's like, I donate to stuff that I believe in and I like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, you know, everybody, even though it's free. So it's like kind of hard to explain, like, and a lot of people don't realize they're doing this, but committed members, people that are participating all the time, it's not free. They're still putting in effort into things.
Right? Yeah.
And the same breath on us, like, you know, DA helps out a lot. You know, Heppner helps out. You know, we've got a lot of mods that help out. We got Dan Nath that helps out a lot. Nobody is making money on this. It's just like we're just putting in a lot of effort. I really don't know what our goal is, but I just like what we have going on.
It's because you guys are passionate and you love it.
You know?
Yeah. That's all you need, though, that's too. Right. Like, mm-hmm. you don't need to, goals are great, right? It's not bad to have a goal, but you can just have fun, do what you're doing, and see where it goes. And mm-hmm. I think sometimes mm-hmm. that might be the best way to operate to a point, because then just certain things come up and you operate on intuition and mm-hmm. fun. And that's, right. if you can form a business around having a damn good time, mm-hmm. it's pretty cool.
If this podcast time. Was based off fame and money when we first started, we wouldn't be here.
No.
That's how I had mine the whole time.
Doug would be here.
That's why we hired Doug for us.
It's just Doug.
And the mustache.
Can you imagine Doug being the only guy left? And he's just like, welcome to Evenings with Doug.
I'm going to go through my first chapter of Hooked on Phonics. Join me on my journey.
Welcome to the podcast.
Doug. I'd be sitting here correcting him every time.
Yeah. But no, I think it's cool. You guys are killing it. I love like the structure of it and some of like the out of the box things you guys have done. Not just deer season, but like now elk. And now I'm motivated to find a couple guys for elk. I wonder if Trey.
If not, they'll pair you up with them.
I got to see if I can find a crew before I. Like, it'd be cool to have some buddies that we know. You know,
everybody PM Kurt. If you're elk hunting,
don't do that.
You know where to find
his email. Yeah. Will be fucking, you know, flying tomorrow. 3,000.
Yeah, don't do that. But also maybe do it. I don't know.
Yeah. So send your best hero picks with elk. So to be on Kirk's team.
Some interesting stuff that we found out this year. As we grow, it's easier to manage people cheating
mm-hmm.
because of how quickly stuff travels.
Mm. Oh, right. I get what you're saying.
So we were talking earlier. You know, we're going to give away a package to the top public buck this year.
Mm-hmm.
And that can get sketchy because I could go shoot one on private
mm-hmm.
and enter it as a public. But I've got this fear of people that I hang out with. Someone might see this posted on this page, like top public buck, and bullshit. They're like, you shot that on your, you know, 400 acres in mm-hmm. Iowa. Like, so
word gets out.
We had a lot of stuff kind of come through the cracks on this year quickly, too.
Yeah.
We had some photoshopped bows mm-hmm. on bucks. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Had a guy that was super close to me. And that's what's crazy is I, you know, kind of took up for him in the past. The guy super close to me kills, and he always kills good deer. Shoots a giant, right? Sends picks over, and I'm like, dude, that's an absolute giant. I was like, but this pick is weird, you know, like something's up with the pick, and it was just a bad picture.
Do you have it on you?
I'll show you later.
Okay.
But see, we don't want to give anybody that time, you know.
Yeah,
like,
right. Oh yeah, no, it's not gonna be on camera.
Yeah, I'll show you later.
We don't do that shit here.
But anyway, like, and then it was within 24 hours we had a photo that come from the High Fence outfitter. Like, because the thing is, High Fence guys, like the guys that own these ranches and stuff, they have to post these deer.
Right.
Because if they don't, they're not going to sell hunts. That's a several thousand dollar deer. I mean, they need to get the as much, you know, mileage out of that deer as they can. And but he wasn't in the photo, but you can tell it was him. It was that deer. And there was a lot of obvious things with it too, but you know, it just the whole scenario, like he shoots this buck early October in the morning. I'm like, where's the strategy? Please tell us the strategy. I mean, you have unlocked the code, right? Mm-hmm. And it got fixed within 24 hours, and he still denies it, which is crazy. Like, it's, you know, but people like that are just
gotta
like,
got to ride or die out your story.
Right, ride or die. Yeah, he's ride it, dude. Yeah, and I'm like, what the hell? And the thing is, I had this guy up on this pedestal, right? Like, because I get
like in your mind, you're saying,
yeah. Like, the guys that go out and do it every year and they can do it on different properties and stuff. Like, some people do have like another sense about them, you know, they can go like,
we know
kill.
Quite a few of them.
And like, I like to get as much information off them as I can. You know, I don't worship them or anything, but like, I try to like,
you respect them for what they're doing. Them.
And especially if they're doing it the right way. But when you find out somebody's doing it the wrong way, then you're like, I'm better than you are. Like, you know, like you are a total fake and a fraud.
Yeah.
And it's
disrespectful to the animal as well, too.
It is. Oh, yeah. It is. Because, you know, you actually try to devalue the deer that are free range and 100% wild, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we have very little cheating, you know, that we... I would say our ratio for cheating is very low, and it's harder every year because of the transparency that we provide.
Well, you have to.
Well, that and with
zero tolerance.
With what you, how many teams did you guys have sign up last year?
792.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 792. There's someone times, around you that's
times three. That's for three people.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's someone on that team is around you whether you know it or not.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a big spread.
Yeah, there's that's a lot of people, and it's. All these benefits, you know, you got to think like as you get bigger and as you know, just like your community, as your community grows, yes, you do have negatives,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But again, like I was saying, the 97%, that's like an actual real, like I'm starting to keep track of like how many negatives I see versus the positives. It's probably 97 to 3%. And like,
well, the negatives always scream a little louder.
They are, and mm-hmm. you can't let them consume your mind, because I do get overwhelmed, and like DA's the first person I call if something happens, and he's like, dude, that guy doesn't exist, or this situation doesn't exist, not a thing.
Yeah,
but that's
a good attitude to have on it.
You have to, I mean, sure. it's hard to do sometimes, but we're,
isn't it fun to just shred people sometimes when they deserve it?
Oh, I do.
It's fun sometimes.
I do, like
that's why I normally, when people are hating online, I get them out of the group pretty quick. Now I just let Judd do it. But Doug, you're kind of like, nah, just let it sit in there because everyone will just shred.
I like to watch the fire.
So what was that guy's name? Carl? Was it Carl?
I don't even remember his last name. I just remember the name Carl. I don't
remember
what
Carl.
He did. He called us a bunch of – was he the one that said we're a bunch of do-nothings at talking to microphones?
No.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I can't remember what
I can't,
said.
You know
– Oh, no. He's the one – someone posted about our – maybe I'm going back through the library of people who've stuck their dick in the hornet's nest in our group.
Someone will call us out on this for sure.
Someone said something, why would you want something with their logo on it? I take credit for my own kills. And then one scroll in on his profile picture, he had a
Rage
picture of him
with
Rage Broadhead. And everyone just took him and just burned him alive.
That's why I wanted to watch what happened.
I remember that. That's what it was.
He dove into the hornet's nest. He didn't just shove his dick in there.
I don't think he knew what was happening. I don't think he knew that he was near a hornet's nest.
No.
And then just started whipping his wee-wee around and got caught.
He just mowed right over it.
Because people still bring up... If you're a douchebag in our group, people say, "Don't be a Carl."
Yeah, don't be a Carl. And that's
shout out to that. Shout out to Carl, man.
Hey, it's Carl's a very similar thing. Like, I mean, it's just, I mean, you go and be a dick to somebody, you're gonna get hammered.
You get stung
immediately.
Yeah,
because people believe in this, you know, and I believe in it.
Well, there's no need for it.
No.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
What
are you
doing? You're a grown man.
Why are you here?
It's irritating with people bashing other people's kills and harvests. You know, like there could be a 16-year-old kid or a 13-year-old, whatever, you know, putting their first ever bow kill on the bow hunting league. And they can do that with confidence, you know, and your page as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about transparency, there should be, you know, zero buck shaming in the industry, period. I mean,
for sure.
Last time I checked, I bought my tags, you know, you guys didn't buy my tags. So if I want to fill it with a spike or a 30 pointer, it's up to me as the hunter, you know,
for sure,
to fill my tags with what pleases me at the time. You know, if it trips my trigger, it's getting shot.
Yeah.
Especially for someone that young, you know, 16, whatever years old, that can deter them from hunting again.
Right.
As crazy as it sounds, like, you know, we do, you know, you guys do a good job of keeping them under wraps so kids can post on there. I like that perspective, like thinking if the mother of a 14-year-old, you want to know that things are on the up and up. But kids and women get a lot of shit on the internet, surprisingly, from grown men. Like Taylor Drury posted a couple of real clips from the podcast we did with her for DeerCast a couple weeks ago. That dude's talking shit on it. It's like, yo, because Taylor Drury's not going to come in at her 100 pounds and kick your ass, but I know a lot of dudes that will. Like, but you don't see when we have, if I did a reel of you talking on this podcast, ain't one motherfucker going to get on there and be like, that guy's, you know, no one's talking shit.
They ain't going to do that shit in front of her dad.
No.
You know, like, they ain't going to do it.
Not in front of her either.
No. Right, exactly. She can take care of herself, but what I'm saying
is behind a screen.
But like this guy thinks keyboard that, warrior. You know, and realistically, you know, you have to look at these things sometimes. I feel like unless you know who that person is, I don't even give them credibility as like a real hunter either.
They never really are.
Well, it's so easy. It would be so easy for, you know, the easiest way for like an anti-hunting group to get into hunting communities and like something they lay that, you know, the hunt industries like into or like hunting communities into would be to create a fake profile and go in and act like they're a hunter and then just bash people and just try to turn stuff up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, we're giving people too much credit. Like, you know,
for sure.
You know, but yeah, that's
kind of fun to talk about though.
Yeah, it is. It gives us something to talk about. We don't want the world to be perfect. We want it to be chaotic.
It can't be.
Like, I want it to be as chaotic as possible where we look better.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what's funny is like for a certain point, and then we'll get back to bow hunting league here, but I remember when we were, I don't know how many episodes we had in, but I was talking to Chip City when some negative shit went down in the industry. Multiple people poaching came out in this time frame. There was like a trifecta.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? Of three major people. Like
Noel Feather.
All at the same tent. What's that?
I'm really aging myself. But Noel Feather's Nightmare, that was on the cover of, I think, Bow Hunter or North American Whitetail when he got caught poaching.
I don't even know who that is.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you'll have to Google him later on.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he was like the godfather of rattling deer. So you remember Dick Idle?
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds right.
Google now.
Yeah.
But, we go. We're on the Google.
Yeah. Check out Noel Feather, and then like he was on the cover.
N-O-E-L,
and then Feather, just like Turkey Feather. And
there, first one.
Yeah. And he got busted for poaching. You know, he was, like I say, he was like the godfather.
Oh.
So he was the godfather.
Buzz comes up.
Hey, look at that.
The Rapala Bucks up there.
This is great when you type in Google Image.
There's probably a lot of controversy around Mitch Rampolo there.
Looks like me in 40 years.
Right here? Oh.
the guy from the Goonies.
Rampolo could actually be legit, too. That's what's crazy.
Right here, Tough Luck Bucks. You can buy his VHS.
Nice.
Anyway, there was a time where, like, three, for lack of a better term, hunting TV celebrities got popped for unethical decisions that they had made, and we did one whole episode Wanted, and it had a dude's face that got caught, and I remember sending it to Chip like, hey, is this too much? And he's like, no, you guys are kind of like news coverage for what's going on in the hunting space. I'm like, yeah, I guess we kind of are. Like, so it's kind of funny, like we kind of have to talk about some of that stuff in a way, you know. But I don't regret it. We kind of went hard in the paint on a couple.
Yeah, but you know what? Fuck it.
A little bit.
I mean, what do you got to lose?
As a hunting community, though, I feel like we police ourselves pretty well, and we're pretty hard on those that break the rules.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
A big fall from grace for a lot of them.
But I think the difference is, and probably the difference, like your group could go for this too, breaking the rules and not owning that you made the mistake. I think if you break the, like a lot of these guys that just deny when clearly it's like, hey, here's a video of you doing this. Like, it's right there, dude. Like, everybody knows. If you're just like, hey guys, my bad. I fucked up. I want to make it right.
Own up to
it. I got caught up in being this TV guy and sponsor money and this or whatever it was. If you were just honest about it, you're like, I'm going to do better and I'm going to change things and try and be ethical and I'm going to, like, kind of like you're recovering from getting out of prison a little bit. Like, right. You got to do your community service, man. Show that you want it. Then you could save it. But the dude that's like,
ever done that.
Yeah, which is crazy, though.
Like, I mean, because it's so easy to, like, to be caught. And it's black and white.
Especially in this day and age.
There's no gray area. Like, it's black and white.
Social media.
Yeah. Dude, if I get caught shooting two deer on film and then cussing at my camera guy, then I'm like, but I go to church. I couldn't have done it.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't it be better if I was just like, my bad. Like, I fucked up. Watch, I'm going to make this right. I'm going to take some time off, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to start a program teaching kids not to do what I did because it's wrong and it's disrespectful. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Like, I'm going to take one guy every year and to make up for it.
Yeah.
And take some random fan, take him hunting and put him on the biggest deer of his life and have an experience.
Or make a show of you guiding people that supported your show through your tough time.
Yep.
And you're not even hunting for your whole time. You can't hunt.
Cause you can't hunt.
Cause you can't hunt. Oops.
Reciprocity.
He could still be, that's a great point you just made. You could be a guide.
Yeah,
I mean, you probably can't. I don't know. Could you be illegally be a guide?
Not usually.
You
can't even be a field
charity guide.
Usually, you got to be a hunt
mentor,
license.
Right? You could mentor. Sure, there's nothing wrong with you filming for somebody.
As long as you're not making money in exchange for like a hunt. I don't think.
How awesome would that have been?
Like,
would've
been amazing.
Like, you know what? I screwed up, and while I'm suspended, I'm gonna put some guys on some deer because I know how to kill deer.
I think that would have, like, for me, I'd have been like, yeah, it sucks he did it, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Nobody out here is perfect.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's going to make mistakes.
Dude, do you think I haven't done something that I regret or be embarrassed if Doug brought up like I did when I was 21 or something? I'd be like, ah, man, I probably shouldn't talk about that one. We all have a moment like that, you know?
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's stored in the vault.
So for the record, I didn't put anybody down rabbit holes, and DA ain't tried to kick me yet.
You're good.
This is podcasting. Podcasting's not supposed to be overly formal. Like Joe Rogan just said when he did, what's Andrew? What's his last name?
You're cut off.
I'm asking Doug because he would know and he didn't pay attention.
Who?
Andrew Schultz. He has his new podcast that just came out. It's almost like a late night show. They just had Joe Rogan on it. First, it's like really fancy, overly done. First thing Joe Rogan comes out, he says, you fucked it up. You ruined it. This is not what podcasting is supposed to be. You've automatically made it. It's not a podcast. You made it too complicated. And podcasts are simple.
Right.
They're supposed to be. That's the beauty of them. Otherwise, it's all Howard Stern radio shows.
Yeah, that's right. And there ain't nothing wrong with that either.
It's fun.
I guess he was the original kind of podcast, right?
Yeah. Howard no. Stern. Adam Carolla.
Oh, yeah.
He's the OG.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
Did you know that? I'm right on that, aren't I?
Yeah,
Adam he's like Carolla, the first like podcast.
One of the first ones, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
He's like Noel Feather to you guys for me, but I'm
I don't know if that could maybe.
Don't
want
to bring up old stuff, but
yeah, rub that in on you a little.
10-4.
I don't know. Either way, it's fun. Like, that's a fun thing about podcasts. Like, we can talk about some serious stuff and then cut up. But I think it does a lot. Like, when somebody from a league, a bow hunting league or a brand can come here and shoot the shit with us about anything, I think that gives you guys more credibility in the community of like, it's ran by good dudes. Just like we talked before this, like if someone's full of shit, it's hard for them to bullshit for a long time.
Yeah, you're not going
right
to.
Because
you're going to get called out real fast.
Well, that or just be like, this guy's not any fun.
Right.
Yeah.
He sucks.
In anything, if you go, like we went to the restaurant earlier And like we were trying to like just order wings. I was like, what sauces do you have?
Well, did you go to the depot really, today?
Yeah.
Oh, you just came from the depot.
Yes. Yeah,
we walked good basically wings. Walked over.
Good wings.
Oh, they're I thought you were awesome. Talking about from the other like at the shoot. Oh, you guys were just there before.
We were
this.
Just there. And like I mean it's just like it's hard for somebody to fake it. You know what I'm saying? Like you can't fake it. And especially with deer hunting. I mean, like, for instance, I have a bow press in my basement. I've never used it. Matt Powell works on all my bows. Like, I mean, it's just
there's only
what he
a
does.
Select few.
Hey, I'm right there with you.
You know, I have like even like when we were roommates in college and stuff, and I did my center serving and I learned how to do all that stuff and tying the peep and all that stuff. But I got away from it because I wasn't around him doing it all the time, and I just let him work on my stuff.
I made a bow press. Never used it. That was like 3 years ago.
Awesome.
Someday. It's in my garage.
Someday.
Someday I'll learn how to use it.
Doug, you probably work on your own bows, don't you?
Yep.
Mechanical engineering and all. Do you work on everybody's bows?
I take them apart and put them back together.
You know who works on our bows?
No, I don't work on my bows.
He works on your bows.
Ross Bigger.
Ross does. Ross
Bigger. Ross or McDaniels when we get down that way.
Okay.
McDaniels.
Yeah. Nice. So yeah, we have an in-house bow tech. Well, we just talked about this on a podcast too. So like, sounds like you guys are working with a lot of bow shops. So shout out to those bow shops. It must be cool because, we talked about the bow shop's cool guy in you when you come in and kind of acting like you're an inconvenience. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how our area has been. Not always, but higher percentage yes than no is like you walk in, you feel like certain you're places, a burden of going in and it's like, well, we're just going to bypass it and Ross will work on our shit. Like,
right, exactly. I mean, there's no reason he can't. I mean, he can get all the same. It's nothing special. I mean, yeah, if you want to do factory work, like a manufacturer warranty work or something, yeah, you got to go through them. But no, there's no reason he can't. And
well, Ross is an elite dealer. So
that's right.
There you go.
Yeah.
And that's all y'all shoot, so you're good to go.
Yep.
And he kills 200 inches, so.
Yeah.
That's nice most about the years. McDaniels too. They'll take anyone and like you can ship them your bow. They'll set it up.
Oh, you did that this year.
Yep, I did. And it came out. I mean, I was kind of skeptical about it. I gave them all the measurements for my old bow and, you know, peep height, everything else, and it came back perfect.
Wow.
That's so that brings up a good point.
Doing that.
Shooter's Archery. Check them out.
I recommend keeping like a business card in your wallet with those exact measurements like you're bringing up, Eric, like your distance from whatever measuring point, like I usually go center of the axle or the top of the axle down to the top of the peep sight or the middle.
Yep.
Just make sure you can read your own notes, but that way capture that measurement, capture your measurement from the peep to the top knot of the D loop. If you use a kisser button, obviously include that as well, but that's like your bow ID card in any pro shop, you know, worth their salt, can always put Humpty Dumpty back together again should you have, you know, a catastrophic failure.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
a
you
good
pop
idea,
a,
man.
A bowstring. But yeah, just keep that bow ID card in your wallet during the season, and
it's genius
that way. You know, a lot a of really us carry idea.
Chad's always thinking,
can you tell that? See, this is what I like about Chad. He's going to give you all the details and the way to do it, but he didn't tell you that he has his own shop. He works, puts together. How many bows you set up a year, you think?
I'd say probably at least 30 to 50.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, a bunch. And he's not like only. He's like a big storefront or anything. He's operating out of the bar.
It's even better, man.
Who got it? He's working out of the bar.
Yeah, out of the barn.
Hey, can I get another beer? I got to work on this bow.
Milk the cow. Now that's an archery.
Barn.
Barn.
Oh, okay.
I like the bar idea better. That's an archery shop right there.
He just carries his bow press. He travels around from bar to bar, you know.
It could be a barn.
Check his Facebook page, which bar he's going to be at.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea.
The traveling bow press. And bow doctor.
He brought his press to the shoot, didn't you?
I have a portable press.
He had a portable press, but you had all your.
Just in case.
He had his case and stuff. So
That's the thing. I got a bow press. I made it from scratch. I'm like, I just need to figure out how to use it. That's the only thing. I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
So it's really not halfway that hard. This is Sorry, go ahead.
It's so like nerve wracking because you see him like bend the limbs and everything, and the strings all limp, and I'm like, I can F this up real fast.
I've got this, like, I'm not really like just scared of spiders or snakes or anything, but I have this huge phobia of people dry firing their bows. Mm. Like if somebody draws a bow,
you'll never forget that sound.
Without an arrow, or no arrow. Release or something, I flip out. Like I like run out of the room.
Ask me how I know.
And
been there.
I've seen it.
But I have like a huge phobia against that. But
oh yeah, it's not a sound. Blow it up.
No, and that sound, you'll never forget it.
I'm scared to death.
That string pops. It's not pleasant.
Hey, look in the next time you guys go to the restroom. There's some couple of cams hanging in the restroom that are bent.
RIP
bathroom.
Bathroom. This guy.
But you've been all over. Like you're showing us some pictures before we jump in the studio. You have like big ass black bear from California and caribou and. I mean, what have you done? What kind of hunts you been on?
What haven't you done? That's the question.
Well, I was going to ask one way or the other, but I was kind of like, this could be a good opportunity for questions.
I was fortunate enough to serve in the Air Force for 22 and a half years, and Uncle Sam, gave me a lot of choice assignments. Some were...
Thanks for your service.
Yeah, thank you for
this
your service.
This leads into... Oh, yeah, glad to do think it. About that veteran shout-out here before the end of the episode.
Right on. But I was fortunate enough to... A hunt in the South. I'm stationed in Florida. I did more fishing than hunting there, but then moved to South Carolina. Had to figure out the Piedmont deer and, figure out how to hunt pines.
Mm-hmm.
And then transitioned from South Kakalaki up to Alaska, the ultimate playground. And fortunate enough to harvest some caribou and big black bear and help out with a grizzly bear or two while there.
That's awesome. But,
yeah, that's very soul cleansing.
Yes.
But caribou, I'd say, was probably one of, and I did harvest a nice black wolf up there as well.
But, no kidding.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that was,
so I tried to get him. When you're traveling for the military, what are you doing with all these animals on the road? Are you just like.
Well, you're juggling between deployments and hunts and family time.
Just shipping them home and.
Well, I was stationed in Alaska, so, I lived in Fairbanks for 3 years.
Oh, shit.
Eielson Air Force Base up there. So, and literally, basically, there's another main Air Force base there, Elmendorf. But we always said Eielson had the hunting, Elmendorf had the fishing. So, mm-hmm. But it was about a 13-hour ride to go up the Dalton Highway corridor to, go caribou hunt after a 12 to 14-hour shift and get off work, go caribou, turn and burn, kill a couple of caribou, and get back in the truck and haul buggy back. Anybody that's listening that is ever thinking about doing a Dalton Highway hunt, take plenty of spare tires. That's a rough road, man. It's all gravel. Once you get north of the Yukon River, it's all gravel. But it is a bow hunter's paradise up there because it's 5 miles east and 5 miles west is all archery only, all the way to Prudhoe Bay. So it's pretty sporty. Yeah, it's awesome.
Cool experiences. Amen. It's cool you utilized like your time while you were traveling.
Oh yeah, the Air Force.
Because you could probably sit on your hands if you wanted to. I'm sure there's guys that did, right?
There were people in Alaska that did not like the assignment because they weren't into camping, hunting, or fishing. And that's one thing I told all my troops as I served is like, don't ask for an Alaska assignment unless you're into the outdoors.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Or you're going to be cold and miserable for.
Yeah. Did you ask for that one or did they assign you?
My wife actually got orders to Alaska. Before we got married, now easy now, but anyway, we were very serious.
So and, what you're saying is you went to the courthouse, and got married.
Yeah. Amen. But we were already getting pretty serious, and then it was like, look, we're not doing the long distance thing. This ain't happening. We're either getting hitched or we're gonna break it off. So
yeah,
we decided we really liked one another, and
bless her
we
heart.
Got hitched. But we basically honeymoon tent camped all the way from South Carolina to Alaska.
That's awesome.
Damn.
Wow. So it was really cool. That's but cool.
You're just looking at hunting more than getting married.
Well, I can't say that. Honey, I love you.
But, a pretty big wink thrown in there.
But yeah, I mean,
Eric.
It was a really, really cool honeymoon to be able to tent camp all the way from South Carolina to Alaska. I mean, you're going through Pink Mountain in Canada. I forget what province that. I think it was in Alberta, Pink Mountain. But that's a wild herd of bison you're driving through. There's buffalo on both sides of the road. And you just get to see all kinds of wildlife. And once you get up to Alaska, it's just epic.
Really?
I think every American, regardless if you serve or not, you should see that country.
Mm-hmm.
Especially an outdoor enthusiast, whether you fish, hunt, whatever. you've got to go see Alaska. It's so epic, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you get the opportunity, seize it, you know. And, yeah, caribou numbers aren't exact. They're kind of like our turkey numbers here in the Midwest right now. They're kind of unstable, and they're studying them, trying to figure out why the numbers are dropping. But if you do have, if that's on your bucket list.
It is on mine.
Do it, and do it, you know, sooner than later before they put a kibosh on caribou hunting. I'm not saying they're going to quit, but.
Yeah, before it gets really hard to drop
tags. Right, exactly. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Interesting.
So,
yeah.
So do you see, like, the passion in there?
Yep.
Like,
yeah, a little bit.
It's dripping off this guy. So, like, here's my segue back to the league real quick.
Nice.
Bring us back.
That's what this group is full of. It's people who, very similar to yours, they bust their ass working all year. They take their time off and they hunt, and they hunt hard. This mm-hmm. is what drives them. This is their rejuvenation. This is what recharges them to do it again another year. And it's not some person trying to be, look at me. I can't stand industry people who get paid that don't know what is going on. Here is pulling out this little, get your index card and write your stuff. People who are on the face of the industry don't say those things. They probably don't even know that stuff. Someone else is working on their bow. Someone else is dropping them off at a here, hunt this blind, you shoot this buck. We all know those people.
Yep.
That's not who's in this league. It's dudes like this mm-hmm. who it motivates you. Ben's talking, you know, we don't get paid for this. This is our motivation right here. Right.
Yeah.
This dude will energize a room. You know, we're talking about the showdown. Like, we'll all be sitting around cross-legged looking up at Chad as he's telling his story. Mm-hmm. Like, tell us more, Chad. but he's a marshmallow. Sure. He's super humble, and he's got that teaching vibe, too. So something funny this year, we went down to Florida, and we've got this dude who has been a mule deer hunter his whole life. He qualified for the showdown. And I pull into the Holiday Inn parking lot to meet them. And Chad has a climber on a palm tree teaching this dude how to climb up a fucking tree because he's never used a stand before in his life. Yeah, and sure. That's what I'm saying. Like, Chad just has this heart and this passion that just, it's so infectious. And mm-hmm. I appreciate you. No. We all appreciate you. And it's, the league is full of people like that. So this is why we do it.
Amen.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, yeah, clearly you can see. I mean, we've been cutting it up, like, with ease, and that shows it a lot, too. It's like, but it's easy to just get in the group and see that. Because someone can be in the group but not be in the competition, right? But that's kind of the point of it. Like, they see it, then it makes them want to join.
Well, right? And it's, you know, now, thankfully, in it, you know, if we look at, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, if you said, hey, where do you want to be? Like, I think it's amazing that we have prizes to give away for drawings for any deer that get entered.
Yeah.
Okay. That is, like, if you were to ask me, that would be the perfect place. Like, that's how I know we got to where we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not always about who's the team that has the biggest bucks, right? Like, it's not always about that. But at the same time, like, I like to have different things for different folks, you know, different strokes for different folks kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Also, just saying, you know, we met Chad at the showdown. You know, I met DA through a forum. You know, he had all this energy. He was just getting started deer hunting. And, you know, it's, you meet these people that have awesome, amazing energy. It gets you rejuvenated, gets you fired up to go. Even if you never meet some of these people, you'll be hunting right beside them as they, you know, mm-hmm. as you're going in the season, like, hey, you know, had any luck or anything, but you're always keeping track of these people because it's really hard to find people that match the energy of like a hardcore bow hunter.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's really hard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's nice because you don't have to be local and friends and stuff. It can be people all over the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was telling my wife this weekend, I said, you know what's crazy? I said, I can take and throw a dart at the United States map, and no matter where it lands, I can say, is anybody hunting this area? And I can be hunting there and crashing on somebody's couch and going deer hunting.
For sure.
You know, and that, I was like, that is, you know,
It's a dream for a lot of guys, right there. You know?
I mean, and then I was telling Chad about it. I was like, you know what's crazy is somebody could say, you know, like in that scenario, like DA could or myself or Powell or somebody that's, you know, big in the group. We don't like covet that stuff. Like, it's a network that everybody can take advantage of.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're all, like, none of us are independently wealthy. I can't, you know, I can't travel to 10 states a year and go hunt with outfitters and stuff. Like, I cannot afford that. But at the same time, I can hunt target-rich environments and crash on people's couches and have a damn good time and actually have friendships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't get that when you, you know, you go pay for hunting. You're not going to get that.
Right.
You know, but like, and but even if it's going hunting public ground with, you know, we have a couple guys that link up and go hunt public ground together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and even that, that's an experience. That's something they can share in. You know, splitting cost on hotel rooms if they have to, or campsites, or when somebody brings a camping trailer down, or, you know, it's just, there's so many things that, so many ways around, you know, spending tons of money. And to be honest, things have changed for all of us in the last year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you need to report to work every week, you know, to pay your bills, like if you need to report to work, you're not an independently wealthy. You know, you probably have been affected in the last year.
Oh, yeah.
And especially if you own your own business and, you know, you're doing, you know, there's those guys are hurt right now. And not to get off, totally
I'm watching you.
Yeah, watching me. DA's like, get back on track.
Where's he going? Where's he going?
What I'm saying is, it's, I don't know if it gets easier to find good hunting properties. And I'm, you know, from here on out, because it has literally gotten tougher since hunting became legalized in the United States. It gets tougher.
Good luck
every
in
year.
Illinois, man.
Yeah. So I was thinking about on the ride up, I was like, you know, it's not me getting access to hunt other places, like me getting permission. It's literally just me adding hunts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's like a different way of looking at it. It's not like, hey, you can come out here and frolic and, you know, do all your hunting. No, that's not the case. You're going with a guy or like, hey, you can come out for 3 or 4 days and hunt here. I'm tagged out, you know, have a good time. And then I'm going to come out to Indiana hunt with you.
Yeah.
But that's, it's so
you're wheeling and dealing and like making your own hunting right. camps and different. Right. And that's part
dude,
of the fun.
I'm telling you, absolutely. Like there is no replacement for, local knowledge. Even if it's public ground,
mm-hmm.
There's no replacement for friendship and the camaraderie and getting to go hunt other places with guys. And that is our true value. That is the value that the Bow Hunting League has. We've had over 200 hunts traded that I know of.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's been more than that.
Easily. Oh, yeah. And I'm always conservative with it. But right. like if you think a target-rich hunt, any game in North America, what's the value of that right now? I mean, like...
Any game, a minimum... I mean, big game?
Big game. And deer. Let's just think turkeys and whitetails.
You're not getting cheaper than $1,500.
Right. $1,500 turkey hunt, probably $2,500, $3,000 for a deer hunt, right?
Yep. And that's on the cheap end.
Yeah. You don't get any friendships from that. You're a business transaction.
Yep.
If you take friends, guess what? They pay $3,000 too.
Mm-hmm.
But in this scenario, you're able to build relationships, kill deer. It's just like my Oklahoma midget deer from last year. Okay. So
Is she like a piebald or something?
No. So this is kind of a crazy story, but it's true. So I'm sitting here, I'm kind of like in a drain, like on the edge of this broom sage field, and it kind of goes up like above me. So like I have broom sage on the background of the, so I see this buck cruising right at daylight, buck cruising, just wrapping around the top of this drain. And I'm right here, you know, I'm down in the drain kind of, I see him cruising and he stops. I put my binoculars on him and he's a 10. He's like a probably low 40s, 10. I mean, really nice deer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, hell yeah, here we go. He's cruising around and he gets above me and like, I can't shoot him the whole way. Cause it's like cedars. It's like, bah, bah. And I hear him. Ch-ch-ch-ch. And it's like cedars, like from me to him. So like, I'm seeing like legs, seeing antler, blah, blah, blah.
A little bit of everything.
And I'm already full drawn, obviously. I mean, why wouldn't you be? He was 40 yards when I grunted at him.
Mm-hmm.
Comes down. Great. I mean, I saw a rack. I mean, I ain't gonna act like I didn't see his rack. I saw his rack, but it, you know, nice frame. I wasn't even really looking at it. I already looked at him binoculars. Why wouldn't I look at him? Get squared up, smash him, runs over and crashes. And I can see him the whole time. He crashed within sight. Well, I call the guy I'm hunting with, Tyler Wells. It's on his farm and that's another bow hunting league guy connection. I traded a, we didn't necessarily say, hey, I'm going to take you here or anything, but we're just hunting buddies now.
Yeah.
He killed a 135 velvet with me in Tennessee in August. Yeah, it's awesome. But we go, I can see the deer with my binoculars and he's laying far and he's laying away from me. And I'm like, man, he's a stud. Like I can see him with binoculars stuff. I'm like, it's awesome. Well, he immediately comes over for some reason. He doesn't even care about hunting, I guess, during the rut. Like he's like, oh, come yeah. over, help
hey,
you.
I'm buddy,
like,
okay, shoot deer.
Get excited.
Whatever.
Yeah,
he's pumped up.
Yeah, that's so, part of the fun, you know.
Part of the fun.
I
guess.
Do the same thing.
I don't know if I would, but anyway. So.
We've done it multiple times.
Good luck getting it out.
Yeah.
Did you see him fall? Okay, I'm on my way.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll get down hey, right
those,
now.
Those days are few and far between, man.
Exactly. They are fun. Right. There is a lot of fun with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I probably would be like, hey, wait a couple of hours. Let me sit here.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we're going up there together, and we get up to this deer, and I'm like, something's off. The deer I saw was a 10. Like, I mean, it was plain as day 10. Turned sideways. Faced me, everything, and I was like, this deer's an 8. And then, like, it was kind of like a, like, objects in a mirror or closer than they appear kind of thing. Like, when I reached out, it was mind-boggling. When I grabbed his rack, I'm like, this is tiny. So he goes, dude, you shot Pony. I'm like, who in the hell is Pony?
He pulls his phone.
He's like, dude, that's awesome. We've been wanting to kill this deer. He's like 4 years old, but he's a midget. So like, no shit. He pulls up trail cam pictures. Like, there he is. And I'm like, I didn't know this deer existed. You know, so this deer, like, no joke. Like his, yeah, I got the Euro. Like his Euro is like 4 inches shorter than all the proportional deer.
Did you not full mount it?
No. Why does everybody say that?
You got a
like,
trail cam.
Like,
very
deer,
unique.
But,
you got a trail cam picture of this thing?
I can get one.
You're so full of shit.
No, I'm getting one. It's amazing. No, it was amazing. Like,
well, they say like piebald deer are like that short, stubby.
It was just
shorter legs, shorter
stature. Freak genetic.
Like, everything
huh?
was proportional. That's what was killing me. Is like the ears were smaller. Like everything. Like if I had it all happen again, I would still would have thought I'd shot like a mid 30s.
It's like a key deer.
Yeah, something like that.
So you're saying the rack to the body,
everything was proportional. Like it looked like even you look at like photos like I posted.
You got a field photo? I want to see a field photo of this thing.
I'll find one. So like you're looking at
no,
it.
You won't.
Yeah, this is him, but it doesn't look good in that picture.
Yeah, you probably deleted all the pictures.
I deleted all this. No,
that's hilarious. But, so that buck got lost in the cedar thicket between where you saw him, and then this little buck like took his little legs. Beep, 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 beep,
so I left that part of the story.
He heard you grunt, be like, "I'm coming in as a badass."
So apparently he was a bully. Apparently, but like he like run deer off the feeder because
he gets your legs.
He's like a chihuahua. You know, chihuahuas are. I think they're so badass with their tiny
little T-Rex legs.
But when Tyler rolled up, Tyler goes, dude, there was a stud standing right here when I rolled up, like he was on the razor. He's like, dude, there was a stud standing up there. I'm like, oh, neat. Like, I didn't think nothing about it. Well, that was the deer I was trying to kill.
Oh, no shit, huh?
Like, so I smashed the little buck, and he's trying to figure out what's happening, because they're rutted up. I mean, right. They don't have any idea what's going on. But no, it's a real thing. It's crazy.
All I can picture you telling that story is just like beep 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 beep. This little leg.
I grabbed the whole time
making that noise and
like
everything as he's walking.
Like, so I start dragging him out. He's like, "You need any help?" I'm like, "Shut up!" Like, he's like 125 pounds.
Put him in a Walmart
How big was his rack compared to like his body?
105.
Oh, really?
Inches.
But he probably looked like what, 130?
He looked like mid 30s, 8, something like that.
105 is a good deer, man.
Bigger than Ross's butt. Right.
Hey, I didn't.
There you go.
For the record, I did not say that.
Hey, no. Ross can take it all because he's the only dude we know under 40 with 3 200-inch deer.
That's right.
Yeah, he smashes them.
You know what I mean? So it's like, it's not. Ross thinks it was a mature buck, too,
under
actually.
40, he was. Oh, he wasn't under 30 when he shot all three, was he?
He's 32. What, I don't even know how old Ross is.
Is that gross or
he's
younger
age.
Than no?
He's my age. He's 32.
All I know is the gross scores. One of them, he's got a 217, a 209 or 207.
Like somewhere in there.
And then a 202. The 202 replica is out here right outside
Holy
the door.
Holy smokes.
10-4.
Look how small the head is.
I think nets are for fishing. But,
I hear you. They're probably all...
That's wild.
Hey, guys, sorry to interrupt. The podcast is also brought to you by Leupold Optics, known for their archery-specific rangefinders, of course, binoculars, and rifle scopes.
That's right.
I've actually used a Leupold rifle to kill a deer before.
You have?
Just one.
Just one.
You believe that? You believe that shit?
Where?
Oregon.
I know. I was just asking.
Oh. Where'd I shoot it?
Yeah, maybe the people were wondering.
Right between the... No, I didn't shoot.
Hey, he was in a state of confusion when I shot him.
Quick question.
Of somebody's property. Michael from Leupold will be here like pretty soon, a few weeks.
Yep.
So check it out. Leupold Optics, awesome people. And Trophy Line, the Vanatic Saddle just launched. What the fuck? Mustache approved.
Yeah, you get weird in those things.
Dude. Yeah, we get to see it before they even launched it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that
got to see it. I got a float in it.
Yeah, you were holding the licking branch sitting in that baby. It's pretty damn impressive. Check out Trophy Line. Use code WCB, Trophy Line's website. I believe that works for everything on their store or just the saddle kits. Either way, just try it. It'll work somewhere. Is that
somewhere?
Spy Point Trail Cameras. The Flex is now available in stores. That's a camera we've been looking forward to all summer. Mm-hmm. If you go back to the podcast we did with Trent and Tanner at ATA, they broke down the Flex and all that stuff. I did set it up and got it deployed yesterday morning. Easy setup. The test button. You hit the test button and it takes a picture and sends it to your app.
So awesome.
So you're not sitting there like fucking around like with other cameras. So easy to set up. It's the easiest cell cam I've ever set up and the quickest working cell cam.
Hell yeah.
Say that with confidence right here. And it over the air firmware update first right off the bat. So I didn't have to plug it in and go online or anything.
I'm going to miss dancing in front of my trail camera for it to take.
You can
send me 8 pictures of me.
You still do that ding dong. Do it.
Yeah, but it's not the same anymore.
It's not the same.
You're just trying to decide which pose it's going to catch.
Spy Point Flex. No more dancing.
No more
sticks.
That's your plug?
That's my plug. Buy it.
And CamoFire. Doug, what do we say about CamoFire?
You got to delete your browser history. Now I got to delete mine.
You do.
Yeah, you got a girlfriend now.
The old ball and chain.
Damn it.
You ding dong.
So what's up? You get on CamoFire, you buy some stuff, revolving deals, and then you have to delete your browser history.
Clear.
So your wife doesn't find where you've been spending all of your hard-earned money. Why is she even telling you what to do with your money? You know?
God damn right.
Camel
you know what?
Fire.
I'm not going to delete my browser history.
Let her know. How many times have you been at the Target Starbucks this week? Yeah, there you go. Come down.
Tit for tat. What's up?
Yeah, Camel Fire is the shit. Get on there if you need anything, really, before fall. Cut in there. They always got, like, essentials, bow hangers, backpack hooks, shit like that. Check it out. Back to the episode.
Oh, wow.
It's like a little.
It's a coos deer.
It looks like a coos deer. Yeah.
That's actually really, dude, looking at your knee compared to the body.
I'm 6 foot. Like, I'm not like I'm 7 foot tall.
That's pretty cool.
That's actually cool.
Yeah. I mean, at first you'd be like, what the hell?
Yeah.
But then eventually you're like, "That." I wonder like what the percentage wise of that is, you know?
I've never heard of it.
You said Tyler had years of history with this deer.
Oh, yeah. Like, he knew all about him and he didn't say nothing to me. He's there every day, but he runs the other deer off the feeder
because he was a bully bug.
He's a bully,
yeah.
And it's probably kind of one of the. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. It's kind of like, you know,
he had lower center gravity.
And I'm not calling out Mike Tyson by any means, but like, you know, when Tyson fought taller fighters, he just crushed them.
Yeah,
because he would use his legs and leverage and drive up into their chins and stuff.
Are you saying you're Tyson?
No, I'm saying that buck is Tyson. Tyson.
Okay.
He was kind of running.
He had little man syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
He's born little. He knew it. He had to project.
He's like a chihuahua. They always think they're big and bad and tough, and they're just this tiny little dog. That's crazy.
That's really cool.
You should have full mounted that thing.
I should have, but
let me take a look.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Unique deer are just cool in general, and like it can be even if it's a common uniqueness. Like I don't know if you guys saw the doe out there, double throat patch. That's cool to me. Yep. And like I'll mount her. Mm-hmm. Like those little things can make like every animal is different. So little quirks add to kind of the uniqueness of whatever the, and it just, I don't know, I guess adds another layer of respect to the animal and how unique some of them can be. And
right.
Shit like I like that, the uniqueness.
Yeah. I mean,
Well, you think about like every whitetail rack's different, right? Yep. Like you won't kill a basic 8-pointer that's the same as another 8-pointer.
No,
it's like like a fingerprint.
Also, yeah. Like our hunts, okay? Like DA, he has not been bow hunting very long. I mean, how long you been bow hunting?
This will be my 9th season.
Okay.
See, he's got a that's
you're
long
kind of
enough.
A veteran now.
Yeah.
Like but when you got started, you were stationed in New Mexico. Hard to get tags, right? And so he's like, I've got to figure out a place to hunt. So he starts bouncing around looking at different states and stuff. Well, he runs in, finds some public and finds some over-the-counter tags that he can drive to. It's like a long drive, like way longer than I drive anywhere else. Starts fresh with all this stuff. Didn't really know anything about it. Starts running cams and stuff. Well, he just, like, he's bebopping in to go check cams. And he goes, he's got his little card reader and stuff. I'm telling the story. Let me tell the story because I think that I'm going to nail it. So you go in and check the cam like, oh, this buck was just here. He's wearing blue jeans and a white t-shirt, but he's got his bow. He sits down, and how long before?
Five minutes,
here comes the buck, right back. Because it's during the rut, but he had his trail camera, and he's like, oh, he's just here. I'm going to sit here for a minute.
He heard you making some ruckus, and he come checking it out.
Buck's probably watching him check trail camera, but he sits down, and he shoots. What was that?
158. But okay, this is my first season. I found this buck in June. I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this was back in the
what state?
Rhode Island? Oklahoma.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. I thought you said New Mexico. I'm
so,
like, oh,
no, that's where we started.
So here's the thing. Oh. I was living in New Mexico, and I just woke up one day. I'm like, I want to bow hunt. I had a best friend who bow hunted, and I was like, I'm going to start this.
So that's cool.
New Mexico is a draw system.
Mm-hmm.
So next to me, I've got Texas. Texas is all leased up. I'm not messing around with that. So I keep going. Oklahoma. Whoa. Active duty gets to pay resident prices. Game on. Go on the Game and Fish website.
That's pretty damn cool.
I find some public. I drive out there. Again, no idea what I'm doing. I'm reading articles. I'm talking on forums because this was back in 2014.
The classic forum,
I find this chunk of public, and the first day I'm out there, I see this velvet buck. I'm like, holy shit, that thing's fucking huge.
Yeah.
So I had no idea what I was looking at. So
yeah.
That whole season, I kept fine-tuning cameras and just like kind of narrowing in on this buck. And I'll make this quick. It's fucking Thanksgiving, and I want to blitz out to Oklahoma to shoot this buck. I'm sitting at the table. I'm ready to go. And my father-in-law goes, do you want to help me hang Christmas lights tomorrow? I'm like, fuck.
Fuck no, I don't.
No.
I'm trying to cut back.
Hey, I got the shit. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, he's Mr. fucking Christmas, too. So when we say hang lights.
I take it he's not going to listen to this podcast.
It was a 7-hour ordeal.
No, it's time. He needs to know. He needs to know.
He need to learn.
You're tearing this family apart.
Our bear's in shambles.
So we finish doing the lights. I hook up my trailer and I blitz out.
So you stayed the next day
for 7 hours.
What a son-in-law.
Girls are out doing their Black Friday shopping. I help them set up all the fucking shit. Hook up my trailer. I blitz out to Oklahoma. I don't even change. Disconnect the trailer. Run out to the spot. I'm checking my camera. I'm in a little cedar that I cut some branches out. This is my blind.
Is that illegal?
It's very legal. Anyways,
shut up.
Here we go.
There's always one. Like a little deer to go kill or something.
Yeah.
He's dead.
He's recording. I swear.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Standing up for
you're
him.
Not a ghost.
So like ghost. Like Ben saying, I'm scrolling through my things and the buck was there the day before. I'm like, fuck yeah. So I'm sitting here and next thing I know, I see some movement ahead and I look at these brow tines and I see it and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's him. So again, brand new. I almost threw up. As this buck's walking in, like I have no idea what's going on.
Hey, there he is.
Like pre-game locker room.
Yeah, 100%.
He walks in. I spine him. I sent every single arrow that I had in my quiver down at this thing because I was like, you are not leaving this little bowl.
Yeah.
And what was cool is I've got this video series on a trail camera. You see this big freaking buck walk into the trail. Then he's getting closer. And if you zoom in on the back, I can show you on my phone, you see this dumb idiot in a white t-shirt and jeans drawn back. Shoot. You see him drop. And then the next picture in the series is just me over here like, what the fuck?
That's standing awesome, over man.
Him. 100, 158?
158.
For his first deer. Yeah.
Congratulations, man. That's,
yeah, that's a stud.
But to go along with all this, like, I've taken people from the league to the spot now.
Yeah.
And like, you know, public is sacred. You know, it used to be. It used to be this, like, you know, I'm not telling you anything. You know, oh, you're going to burn me. I've been burned too many times. Like, mm-hmm. the league gives you that opportunity to vet people, mm-hmm. to learn who they are as a person. I'll take any one of you out there. You know, it's one of those cool things that now we get to have a fun experience as a camp out there versus me going out solo. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was a
that's awesome. That's a good story.
That's crazy. That's also, the coolest I'll show part you the about pictures. This is like you just hit the nail on the head. That's like when we were at the showdown this year. You know, DA was out.
God, taking, I wish I, you guys are talking about it. I wish,
dude,
I
it was awesome, man. I mean, he put me in one of his honey holes, and I just all I had to do was find the pin, and we had the right wind. I shot a stud boar hog that evening, and you unfortunately,
won it somehow.
Well, I think I tied with Justin Miller this year because we both stuck pigs, and neither one of us recovered, but. You know, to be determined. But anyway, it was awesome, and you know, just the networking and genuine folks. You know, like say, my granddad always told me, surround yourself with quality people, and you'll be a quality person yourself. And
for sure,
and that's what it's all about. You know, good guys, and we all share the same passion, and it's just a great group of folks. And like we were talking about earlier, it's kind of bringing back the, you know, yeah, gone are the days of the check station, but you basically
find your new check station.
Yeah,
basically.
I mean, you still got a social network, and there's a lot to find wrong with social media, but there's also a lot to find right about it too.
And 100%. Yeah.
What we're doing right now, you know, echoes that, but
for sure. Yeah. This is kind of lives on a little through our platform.
There's a thousand reasons for people to sign up for this, but I want to go through the reasons that somebody wouldn't want to sign up for this contest. Mm-hmm. They don't.
That's freaking awesome.
Eric's looking at pictures.
Well, yeah, sorry. I want to see some of that too.
Those pics are amazing.
Swipe this way.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever seen the whole order.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's hilarious.
Well, so I should have said this too. I got a video I'll show you after because there's a lot of cussing in it, but I sent it to all my friends.
Oh, I see you in the blind. Okay, I didn't see it at first. He did not see you coming head on.
I'm sitting there almost throwing up on myself.
He's sitting there dry even. Like after
she's stopping him.
The next morning after drinking all night.
Wow. That is awesome. That's freaking cool, dude.
That is cool.
You need to like frame that up in a sequence.
I've got them. I've printed them out. They're hanging under the buck right now.
My
that's
man.
That's, really that's cool. Awesome.
Staring over it.
And he's like, yeah.
She's in a white tee and a flat bill.
Yeah.
The white t-shirt is the best.
Well, there's a video. I've got to show you.
He was just sitting there checking cams and then bam, you know.
And then like bam.
Good thing you had your bow on.
That's a great buck too.
Oh. And it's like middle of the rut.
Oh, I want to see.
Did you even know what the rut? Were you like prepared for any of that?
So. Before I shot him, I shot an elk. I read a bunch of articles. You know, that's, I don't know what I'm doing.
It's where it starts though, man. It's what you do.
So, well, I was in Africa, DJ. He's busy.
Like deployed?
Yeah. And I'm trying to teach myself because I got this.
Thanks elk. For your service, by the way.
Appreciate that. I'm reading all these articles because I drew this elk tag and I have no idea what I'm doing. So I get back from this deployment. I go out on this hunt. And I shoot an elk my first day. I'm up there by myself. Do you know what the one thing is that I didn't teach myself how to do? Gut a fucking animal.
I feel like a lot of people miss that, though.
Yeah.
That's common, I feel like. Because you don't think you're going to get it done, and then you don't think about that part. Like, well, maybe.
What do I do now?
So I ended up, I can be a little spaz. I'm very collected right now, but I can get energized when I shoot something. I don't know how to get this thing out of the woods. So I start driving up and down the road. It's Labor Day weekend, and there's all these campers out there. And I'm running into these people's campsite. Will you come help me drag an elk? And they're like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, who's this lunatic?
So on my adrenaline high, I end up going back, dragging this live weight animal back to the road. It was about 800 yards.
An elk?
Yep. I deadlifted it with a piece of rope and a pulley. Wow. Into my truck, but this is the best part. I go into town. I bought 30 bags of ice, and I made an igloo over him. And I drove straight home, at 2 a.m., knocked on my buddy's door. I'm like, dude, I shot fucking elk. And I don't know how to cut this thing up. And again, great community. This dude came outside and helped me cut up an elk at 2 o'clock in the morning because I'm an idiot.
That's awesome.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not even kidding.
How about the story that
Well, so
I've never, it's the wildest story.
But here's the thing. Ever since that day, I will never not help someone. Because I remember being how you felt.
The shit, the shit you went through.
I will never do that to someone because it was kind of scary.
Oh yeah,
it can be very intimidating if you know you're looking at this huge animal that just harvested, and you know now you've got all this work to do. You know, we always say, well, once it tips over, that's when the work starts. And
well, especially like one cutting up an animal if you're new to it. All right, now add in a factor that some people might not think about. You're maybe in an area that you're not 100% familiar with in the woods, and if you shot in the afternoon, then it's getting dark, and you're not used to being in the dark in the woods by yourself with a dead animal. What else? There's a lot to process for someone that is unfamiliar with the process, So
there's the whole want and waste issue,
And then you're running through emotions of like... You're excited, but part of you still feels a little remorseful, I'm sure, if you're new. You don't want to waste anything. You don't want to cut up wrong. You don't want to, like, there's a lot of scary shit.
A lot of people, unlike what he did, won't ask for help because they're like, I don't want to look like an idiot.
Yeah, because everyone grew up with that guy on a job site that calls you a pussy every time you turn around or ask for help.
Been there, done that.
Right.
It's probably one of the hardest hobbies, sports to get into.
It's got to be.
Yeah, it's as far as especially if you don't have a mentor.
Yeah,
I mean it's just self teaching, very hard.
Hey, one thing I wanted to bring up I just don't want to forget. So if it's cool, I just want to bring it up because we talked about it a little bit, and I brought it up a little before the podcast. I think it would be cool if you guys did a bow hunting league, like records, kind of like. Mm-hmm. When you think of the UFC and someone's fighting, you're like, Conor McGregor was the first guy to hold. He was a 2-division champion, and this, or you see like, oh, this guy has this many title defenses. Like, there's those unique, cool records. I think it'd be neat down the road when bow hunting league is 20 years old. You could be like, this is the first champion of the bow hunting league, first King of Tynes champion, first person to win King of Tynes and the team league at the same, I feel like those fun records, if you guys kept track, would be a pretty cool thing to look back on over time.
That is a good idea.
And kind of like make it an honorable thing to be like.
Has someone done that?
Kind of like a wall of fame.
Yeah, then you could do like how UFC has a hall of fame, like Randy Couture. Everybody knows why Randy Couture is in the hall of fame. Like shit like that, you know?
So right now we have a team which the first 3 years my team won it.
Okay. Yeah, no shit. I wonder why.
Because we, I built the damn thing.
Here we go.
And I'm like, hey, I'm just gonna restrict this. But it is.
Hey, there's only one team.
Yeah. Hey, guys, there's two teams, and my mom's on the second one.
But go Ben.
And she's cheering me on. She's like, I'm not gonna go kill a deer. I want to see Ben win for the final. Yeah.
But it is whole life.
She ends up winning.
Yeah.
Hit my car.
Queen of Tynes. But you know, here we are. We have a team that's won it back-to-back years.
Uh-huh.
Okay, they won it with 476 teams. 476 teams, and then 792 teams. And what's cool about it, so it's they're Texas and Oklahoma, okay? But these guys are regular dudes, business owners. Obviously, they have good property. Mm-hmm. You know, they have managed property. They do it the right way, super particular. But at the same time, their scores, I mean, 100, their average buck was under 160. Mm. It is very hard for three guys to kill three bucks that gross.
That's asking a lot.
It's hard. And even if you do it historically, like to all line up the same year and all kill one, because normally guys that kill booners, you know, you have these guys in these booner classifications, they're going to have they're going to kill 2 out of 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
The third year, didn't work out, or like he got poached. So I shut my farm down because I got all these 4-year-olds and, you know, I want them to get
a lot of factors play into it.
Tons.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not like we all can hunt everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all these factors. But it's just like there's a team, they've been in it every season, just about. It's brothers. They're all in Iowa. It's the Beckers, Chad Becker, Tyler Becker, and Travis Becker. And when they kill deer, they're shooting 160s to 195. Oh, I mean, shit. Like, they're killing big ones.
Yeah.
But they have never all killed in the same
year. Yeah.
Oh,
that's the stars align.
Yeah, that's part of the fun of, like, yeah. It could be anybody's game. And not that it's, like, overly serious, but it's fun that way. It's mm-hmm. like, you can't, like, you could have, like, the same story that we just talked about with us. Mm-hmm. Like, on a normal year, Ross will kill like a 170 plus.
Well,
you know,
like, right. Like Ross, though, like hat off to him. Like he could have shot a three year old
140.
He stuck,
but
he got away from his values. Yeah. But he did, and
it's about.
There's 1,000 reasons to sign up for this, but there are three or four reasons not to. You know, one of those reasons is you literally don't want anybody to ever see your kills, okay? Because if there are people like that, if they are like that, do not sign up for this.
Right.
Because if you kill a great big deer, we're going to post it and 200,000 people are going to see it. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's when it does the circles. The second thing would be you don't want to hunt other states. Like, I mean, if you're like completely an introvert and like, again, kind of like that antisocial thing, don't sign up for this. And then the third one would be you don't want free shit. Like, okay. Because I mean, like, if you like,
well, Carl wouldn't want free shit because like, he's responsible for all his own kills.
Yeah, that's
except
right.
For Rage Broadhead.
Yeah.
Except for Rage.
Yeah, if you got Rage, he's in. Watch out.
Yeah. his dad owns Rage.
He's just making play. He's making play of snakes. Yeah. Rage
he's,
Broadhead.
He's at least field staff. Y'all know that, right?
Oh yeah, he probably is.
He's probably field staff.
He probably is.
15% off. But anyway, what I'm saying is like
use code Carl.
Code Carl. 15% off. But like what I'm saying is like you could literally win a brand new bow that you haven't bought in 5 years because of reasons. You could win a brand new bow just by entering your 120-inch eight pointer.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And what's crazy is like people are gonna be happy for you because that deer tripped your trigger. And like yeah. And, you know, and it's not like we're trying to change anything. Like, I think some people, you know, like, I feel like sometimes, like, the social media stuff, people are like, we got to change this. And I'm like, I don't think anything needs to be changed. I think you just need to get around the right people.
Right.
Because things are okay.
It's a big, big thing in saying that, I think.
Yeah. You know, there are, like I said, that 97.3%. Like, you know, that 3%, they're going to be like that no matter what. They would be like that if they were into motocross, like you were talking about earlier.
Every niche of everything has that same thing.
Has the haters.
It's the same thing, too. Like
has a Karen.
Yeah, oh, yeah. But
has a Carl.
But I think it's just business in general. Like, we always talk about how, like, the tree stand niche of our industry is, like, I don't want to say the worst people. That's not true. But there's the most like stir up of like back and forth between other companies, like, mm-hmm. and maybe there's another. I don't know. You don't see it with bow companies. You don't really see like bow companies going at each other for patent shit. Maybe you do, but it's not as like
in the media,
not social media accessible. But I'm sure like you go on. I mean, I don't know. Motocross. You brought that up. Like, I'm sure if you dove into the motocross, supercross realm, and you could probably see some companies going at each other. But maybe not. I don't know. But I just think, like, I'm sure if I looked in and got into the local landscaping industry right. in our area, oh, I'm yeah. sure there's two there's landscaping people that fucking hate each other. Mm-hmm. It just is.
Right. Oh, being in the car industry, you see it all the time.
I mean,
it's just part
it's
of the
funny
gig,
you said
right?
Landscaping, because I did that in college, and it was definitely relevant.
Yeah.
Like, oh, there's so and so's truck, and I'm like. Was it? They got. I guess they got that yard from so and so. Like it's just they're
part of the gig.
Job. They do. You know they do shitty sprinkler systems. You know
they're running Craftsman riding mowers. You believe that shit?
Yeah. You know, like they're using. I think one of the brands is like Birdsong. They're using Birdsong equipment. I'm like, what are you talking? Like this, you know,
trash.
Like this is trash.
Trash people.
They even put premium in their lawn mowers. What the hell are they doing?
But that's also like as much as it sucks, it's kind of healthy.
Yeah,
in a way, like the kickback of it is healthy because it makes strong industry.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But also, does it?
That's the biggest question of this podcast.
I think it does. Yeah.
It's good, right? It's good to a point.
So you look at the things like the chute, right? The working class chute. And that's first thing when I got here, I was like, how did it go? Like, did it go good? And you're like, yeah, it went great. Mm-hmm. I was like, I agree. Because I went to the after party, talked to, got some amazing stories from that, like, and met some really cool people. And, you know, it's all these fulfillment things. Are you getting fulfillment out of it? If you're not, like, maybe you need to change your direction or maybe just totally get out of it. And mm-hmm. all you guys are getting fulfillment out of it. And we are too. But it's neat because you're able to share the fulfillment, just like me and DA and Chad Heppner. We're all able to share the fulfillment with the other members of the group.
Yeah.
And, you know, because life's short, guys. Like, you better start having a good time because before you know it, you're 65 years old and you can't go.
Right.
Yeah. Even if you got all the money in the world, you can have $3 million. But if you can't walk 150 yards and climb up in a tree and draw draw your bow, you can't do it. So all you're going to have then is your memories. So you're going to, you need to spend your time now
making memories
and freaking do it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that's kind of where we're all at, you know, and that's why I'm thankful for this group and this contest and all these things. Cause I got to meet DA, got to meet Chad Heppner. I've made a lot of friends with this thing and, you know, I'll hunt with 7 or 8 to 10 guys every year, you know, with this deal. And it's just, and we have so much fun.
It makes it easy to recruit new people into the sport too, I think, because, you know, a lot of people say, well, what is this, you know, if they ask about the bow hunting league or, you know, bow hunting in general. You know, I just got started my cousin off down in Florida, started him fishing first, and now that just the way the world is right now, I think a lot of people are like, dude, it's time that I start figuring out how to fill my own freezer, because I don't know if Sam's Club's going to run out of, I call it shit tickets, you know, the toilet paper shortage.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, you guys can use it.
Invest in a dude wiper.
Yeah, or amen. Hoo-yah. That's pretty sporty.
A bidet.
Right?
You spray your butt with it?
I
need instructions, you know.
Sniper. There's a knob that says butt or other stuff. Like, don't do it. You got to sit on the toilet, otherwise it'll hit you in the shirt.
Butt or other?
What is he? Well,
you choose your own adventure. You know what I'm saying?
Care who you are, it hit you. It cleans you right there.
It's a sniper. I don't know how they figure out the math, but
hey, engineers.
Anyways, Chad.
But yeah, back, you know, filling freezers. And so my cousin, man, he's like, dude, I want to do what you've been doing for, you know, my family and I have been living off of wild game exclusively, barring bacon and lunch meat. You know, that's what we eat.
Yeah.
You know, we eat fish, we eat wild game, you know, squirrel, rabbit, turkey, whatever I kill and catch during the year is what my family lives off of. So mm-hmm. we're kind of like the modern day subsistence lifestyle.
Yeah.
And it's by choice. You know, we're certainly not independently wealthy, but, you know, we can afford to go buy a ribeye every now and then. But
yeah,
it is by choice. We choose to live a healthier lifestyle, and we enjoy wild game, you know. Mm-hmm. Don't feel bad for me because I'm living off of deer meat, you know.
Yeah.
Venison, you know, fancy word for deer meat. But
yeah.
Anywho, my cousin's like, dude, my cousin's like, dude, I want to do that. I want to fill freezers.
That's cool.
And so I'm like, well, you know, let's get you into hunting, but more importantly, let's get you into bow hunting. You know, he really wanted a challenge, so introduced him to the sport. And while we were at right after the showdown this year, I got back with my cousin down in Florida, and we actually have a lease together now down there just for shooting pigs and some deer. But that way I can still hunt through February and still hunt rutting bucks. So kind of cool.
That's freaking wild, man.
Yeah, man.
It's so insane. Cool.
It is cool. But so his first ever bow kill is with a sniper hog light. You can hunt after dark in Florida, for wild pig.
Fucking badass.
His first ever bow kill, dude, and I'll show you guys video after the podcast, is at 6 yards, wild boar, you know, some small, but first ever bow kill.
Yeah. Hogs fair game?
Oh, yeah. But this thing's 6 yards. He lights it up with a sniper hog light and right in a pump station. I mean, perfect heart shot. You can, and the video is really cool. I got it on Tacticam, but you can see the green lighted knock ticking with every beat of that pig.
Crazy.
No shit. As he ran through the timber, it was really cool. But that was his first bow kill, and now I would say he's hooked.
Oh yeah.
So
that's a good way to get people hooked, man. We don't have I'm glad we don't have them because it'd be a problem up here. We don't have hogs up here, but can you imagine? Dude, you get people hooked easy.
And if you want to fill a freezer, Florida's the place to do it because they got some.
Oh,
it's weird rules down there with their tags and
a lot of python snake or steaks and
stuff. That's deep south.
Get all the iguanas.
Yeah, iguanas. Yeah, I gotta. Here's some things I've been feeling lately because it's summer. Maybe I shouldn't do this.
Uh-oh.
Not impressed by killing iguanas, even though it needs to be done. I don't think it's that cool, and I'm tired of seeing people noodling for catfish. Not that cool. I'm just going to say it.
How about bow fishing?
Bow fishing's cool, but I don't need to see every single buffalo carp you shot with your bow. It's cool once. That's it.
Is iguanas a thing now? Did I miss it?
Yeah, but I think they're kind of a problem.
Am I bathing suit or not, though?
Well, that makes it better.
Yeah. You?
Speedo.
So
you? All day. Let's see that.
You see my iguana?
I get it, but I'm like, also, it's like, I guess I'm a little different because I'm like, big game is cool. I'm kind of, imagine Eric's attitude towards turkeys. That's how I feel about iguanas and bow fishing a little bit.
What are you into?
Big game.
Big game.
Yeah. So I like turkeys. I like hunting turkeys.
Native species, big game.
No, not even though. Like,
so you like hog hunting?
I've never killed a hog. I'd love to go. But yeah,
you do need to do that.
I want to go.
There's
hogs are cool.
Unreal.
You want to go on a Texas Spanish goat hunt? I'm with you. I'll go. Let's go.
So you're all about the goats, but you don't want the noodling catfish and
no. I don't. I'm not saying I would never do it, but I just think like
everyone's doing
on the internet. Like
I got you.
Like and it's just a novelty thing. You know?
I use it just to keep sharp. I mean, I try to shoot my hunting bow almost every day.
Shooting catfish?
Oh yeah,
that's fucking cool. I'm talking
not in Illinois. I'm talking
putting
game
your hand
species.
In holes and it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I'm shooting them with a bow and arrow, and gar are a pretty sporty target out, you know, pushing 20 yards.
A gator gar would be badass.
I'll be bow fishing Wren Lake tomorrow, actually. So
really?
Yeah, we're going down
there. This guy doesn't stop.
No, I'm not.
He's literally hunting all year. Like, you're like, hey, what are you hunting this week? Oh, I'm going to go down here and shoot these hogs. And I'm going to go bow fishing Tuesday through Thursday.
Jackalope.
See, I'm not saying don't noodle for catfish, but it's just, do you know what I'm saying? Kind of
shoot them in the face.
I'm kind of being sarcastic a little bit, like with my, because I do this shit. I go on like random. Because also, I think it's better to be colorful when you're hosting a podcast, because otherwise it'd just be vanilla.
You're ready for the velvet pigs to start.
Yeah, man, I want to get fucking back to deer. I guess that's the root of my.
You're in a lull.
Yeah, I'm itching for some velvet, man. I want to see some G2s with splits and fuzzy brows.
So I don't know if anybody else
has said this before,
but since I really started getting into hardcore bow hunting and stuff, I could feel my neck swell. As you're September, and I get more edgy and like more tempered.
Oh,
the tarsal's warmed up.
It's getting all like fidgety.
Shorts are getting
tight. Start peeing on stuff.
Hey, shit's getting stinky in here.
I honestly feel like I feel like I'm affected by the photo period.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a thing?
I do.
You think? How long have you been bow hunting, Eric?
Oh, 2000. Oh, shit. Let me think about this. 13?
Okay, 2013. So, so this is year 9, I guess, or
yeah,
this
roughly.
Is year 10. It's about the same for you, Doug.
No.
Way before that.
03?
Yeah, 03. So, yeah, we've been about the same time. Mm-hmm. So, is there a chance that we get so ingrained and, you know, you hit these cycles, you know, could we be affected by photo period now?
You know, okay, that's fun to say that, but probably not. But I think we're affected by passion of rotation.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
You get away from it long enough.
You get your family break.
Rejuvenate, you fill your tank.
And you feel it just.
And then the temperature starts cooling off a little bit and start hearing the crickets. And then,
okay, let me throw this at you. There was one or two days this spring where it almost felt like a fall day.
Yes.
And I was kind of like...
Low humidity.
Yeah, and I was like, low. Damn, it's crispy outside. I need to be... I need to be in a tree vibe. That's what that is, I think.
Especially when you walk outside. You know, it's fucking walk 3 back o'clock in, grab in the morning. Your bow. 3 o'clock in the morning, you get outside, you're like, ooh, it feels like a...
Yeah.
Yeah, you're feeling the vibe.
I should be in a tree stand right now.
It's under 60. Kind of feeling.
What day is the year?
But I think,
where am I?
I think that comes with...
Was I in a coma?
Knowing, like... But also, like, you get a clear, crisp, high-pressure type day in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And if you got to be somewhere near the woods, you're like, I'm irritable.
Yeah, mad. And, like, and I get
mad.
The closer you get to that peak rut, and we all know that day, you know, you have these days, and, like, I get more anxiety as I get closer and closer to November. And then when I get in November, I'm like, okay, it's okay because it's November 2nd. It's not November 8th yet. And it, but I get a lot of anxiety.
Then it's November.
Oh, I do too.
And then when you get through it, you know, I'll take 3 weeks off, and then when I get through it, I'm just wore out,
drained,
but still wanting to go.
You know what? I'm curious to see if this, since you're talking, I'm on your wavelength right now. I'm with you, but I want to see if this aggravates you, and either aggravates you positively or negatively. And that might not make sense, but let me throw this at you. Okay. Maybe we need to do a round table.
Let's do a round table on it.
Let's do it.
All right. Nobody react. I'm going to say this, then you guys will either shrug your shoulders like, I don't, no way, or you tell me which way you sway, anxious or not anxious. Someone's like, hey, only 112 days till deer season's here. How are you reacting? Eric?
Just another day.
You don't think about it, okay?
Same.
Okay.
Deer season never ends.
Okay. Well, that's not what I was looking for. Okay. Maybe I'm the only one who thinks this way.
I do countdowns.
You do countdowns?
Yep.
Can't wait. Can't wait till it gets here.
I get anxious.
Fast forward.
In two ways. When someone does that, I'm like, because time, and maybe it's because we're busy. I get anxious. Yeah. I'm behind.
Shut your mouth.
But I think it's because kind of what you said, once it starts, you're in a nonstop grind.
Yep.
Right.
Until you're tagged out. Yep. Or season's over. So I love it, obviously, but I know it's coming. I don't need someone being like, hey, dude, you got 100 days.
Oh, my God. Like, I see what you're saying.
Just let me operate how I operate, motherfucker.
I don't set a timer on my phone like some of the people, like 18
you
days.
Do? I've got 62 days until my antelope hunt. So, I mean.
Yeah.
But I don't share it. I'm not going to call you up and be like, guess fucking what?
Yeah.
See, every day.
When I see that, I'm like, ooh, I have anxiety.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. And, you know.
Okay, no one at all went for the same reaction.
I'm not an anxiety-ridden person, I'm just kind of like.
My anxiety motivates me, though.
Yeah.
Right?
You get, I get, it would probably have to be a shorter timeline. Like 22 days until the Tennessee Velvet Hunt or something.
Ooh. Yeah.
Somebody said something like that to me. I'm like, oh.
Well, yeah, that's anxiety that stays with you. Like I said, I'm like, man, are you counting it down? Like, you got to get another, like, I don't know, maybe not another hobby, but like, we just got shit going on.
Yeah.
Turn your alarm off.
So I'm like, man.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, though. After you say you take 3 weeks off for November, when that ends and you haven't killed one yet, how do you feel after that?
I'm still going. But see, you think about like.
That's just rough, though, right?
Well,
it's like you just put all that time in.
Well, see,
it can burn you out.
The first thing you said was false, because by the time that's over with, I've killed something.
I like your attitude.
Yeah, fucking midget.
It may not be that big, but I've killed something.
Dead. Midget.
Something's dead. Bleeding.
Or wait, something passed away.
Yeah. Oh, my God. When he said that earlier. Yeah.
It's where that bear he passed away.
He passed away right over there.
he entered the spirit world.
No, but so perished. If I have a tag, especially one of my Indiana tags, I am, like, still stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
but it's so a motivated stress. It's stress you want.
But yeah, right. But you think about like that time of year. So
people take that the wrong way, I think, if they don't know.
But so when you get past Thanksgiving, we're in a totally different style now. I'm not there before daylight. You know, I'm actually, realistically, if anybody had any sense, which I don't do it this way, but if anybody had any sense, they would take, at the end of November, they would take pretty much most of December off. Like if you had any sense. and just spending it with your family, get your cameras regeared. See, DA is like, well, you know, but the reason I'm saying that is because your deer, when they're right after the rut, that's probably your lowest percentage chance of killing the deer after the last push, mm-hmm. after your desperately seeking phase, with your older deer, like let them recover a little bit and then get back on feeding patterns and then start hunting them.
Yeah. Hard. You're screaming Ross Bigger's anthem right now, man.
Yeah. But
get him out of the shotgun phase.
I'm not a big deer killer. Like I would love to get invited to a podcast for like, hey, dude, that buck you killed was amazing.
Fuck Boning League. Let's talk about this deer you killed.
Yeah. That's kind of like I was thinking the other day. I was like, you know, wouldn't it be amazing like to get like invited somewhere based off accolades of actually hunting instead of like collecting people? Because that's all I do is collect people.
You know how many podcasts I've been on for a big deer I killed?
How many?
Fucking none. It's all just because of the podcast.
Yeah.
Which I'll take every time, right?
Like, it's,
I've killed some good deer, but I haven't killed Austin Chandler or Ross Bigger deer.
Yeah.
I killed some deer that hold up their own.
And a lot of
but
it
is. I'm killing super giants.
Yeah. But
not a lot of guys are. Not a lot of guys truly are killing super giants. Right. There's a handful.
So saying all that, like regular ass guy, you know, turn around, you know, I'm a super regular person, but we got this bow hunting league thing going. It's opened up all these opportunities and everybody can take advantage of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Everybody, even like you guys, like you think about like, you know, deer hunting, like realistically, if you just talk about deer hunting on a podcast, how damn boring would that be?
Oh yeah, it's real boring.
It would get very boring.
It's why we don't. Like, I mean, that sounds bad coming from a deer pot. What'd you say, Eric?
I said suck ass.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It'd be terrible.
Well, there's a reason why, and I don't want to act like some deer stories are really interesting, but at a point, like we can't do 500 episodes of nothing but a deer story because to a point, they're kind of told the same.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like, I don't know. That's why we don't do it every time.
It doesn't matter. And you can beat tactics to death and all this stuff.
Well, here's a good example. Chris J was just in. Mm-hmm. Awesome freaking guy. Like one of the best dudes you'll meet. Like you need something, he's there. You know? He killed some good bucks and he trapped an awesome bobcat. We talked about the bobcat more than his deer. Mm-hmm. Right. We talked about like Bo target Kenny. Panic. And because to us, that's different. And less talked about on podcasts. Maybe it's not, I don't know, but it just seemed more interesting for the library we already have.
Yeah, it's more, and it's actually more relevant to the regular guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, target panic.
Real problem.
It's a real problem.
For sure.
Yep.
We don't talk about it enough.
Well, index finger releases are definitely a big proponent to cause target panic
because right.
Once you're at full draw and you got that finger on the trigger, it's kind of like, oh no, I gotta
dump it.
Yeah, gotta dump it. And my oldest daughter actually is going through that right now. So I just bought her a thumb button, and it's amazing when you just transition from your index finger to your thumb, how you can focus on the shot and the shot breaking how it should break and the aiming process a lot more.
Yeah.
And I tried the whole blank bail, shoot with your eyes closed, you know, the cure-alls for target panic, you know, get up at 5 yards and all right, just feel the bow, feel the shot. It just wasn't working. So we got her a new thumb button release. And actually, I've been shooting the hang out of it. She hasn't shot it yet, but I was dealing with it too. You know, I had a little bit of it actually at the WCB shoot. I still shot fairly well, but you know, the pin was floating off to the right. And I mean, I'll tell you straight up, I hate shooting dots. Mm-hmm. I suck. I like shooting 3D.
Fucks with your mental.
Yeah,
game.
I mean, I would suck at the Vegas shoot. You know, I feel like I'm a decent shot, but
yeah, hey, you just
I
take beta like, blockers like that dude who's got popped. You remember that shit?
Freaking performance enhancers.
This dude walks up in an Under Armour polo and he's drinking a 20-ounce Mountain Dew on the line. I'm like, that dude is white trash, and I love everything about it. And he wins. Turns out,
was it an Under Armour? Or was
he had just a blank Under Armour gray like button or a polo, and they just like crudely screen printed Martin Archery on his
Martin Archery.
On
his back. Yes.
Because I remember
it looked like someone like he made it in his basement. I remember.
I mean,
that.
I think it was. It looked like a last second thing. Yeah. I mean, it looked very Martin Archery. Shout out to Martin Archery, but
is there still a thing?
Not, that sounded disrespectful. It just looked like, hey man, wear this. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't mean anything real negative about it because shout out to him, whatever. But anyway, this dude's just taking beta blockers, I guess, so he didn't get nervous. He's up there shooting against killers, full of sugar and caffeine, you know, from his Mountain Dew, which is super Judd. He channeled his inner Judd McCollum, wins this. And then I remember like Rio Wild and all them guys were like, this is great for Martin Archery. They're going to be, because their facility had just burnt down.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right.
Remember that shit?
Yeah.
And then this dude shoots and they're like, this is so good for the brand. And then like,
and he just walks over nonchalant, just
yeah, with a Mountain Dew. Stroking. And then he's got to like, I don't know if he had to turn back in the money or what, but
it was weird.
They popped him.
Oh yeah.
Fuck yeah. USADA, I'm pretty sure, which they're like the athletic commission for like fighting and all, like
for everything.
For everything. Yeah. So I think like it's like a state commission rand.
It's like anything pool. Else. If you like he's win something, you can go and take a whiz quiz.
Take beta blockers.
So you're saying that he could have used that as an opportunity to sell beta blockers to guys that have target panic and that are bow hunting.
Dude, the Bomar should start selling beta blockers.
That's our market.
I'm all about buying some of those.
Yeah.
Beta blockers for bow hunting?
Beta blockers for bow
hunting. Dude, why not? Why not?
Where do you even get those?
Yeah. Can I get some of those?
Dude, I'd take some just to see what it was like.
Yeah.
That's the same thing I said when Johnny Utah was in here lifting weights. I'm like, what are you competing? Well, no. Like, what are you fucking doing this? Well, no. I'm like, why aren't you taking steroids? And you're in your physique, right? Fuck it. If you can do it healthy, why not? Am I out of line for thinking that?
No. Hell no.
No. Well, you're not competing.
Yeah. I would take steroids, but I don't know.
They're probably illegal as shit to get, but if you can get them and you can do it safe and you were into like looking big,
yeah,
wouldn't you take them?
I only don't work out and use steroids because I don't want my friends to feel bad.
Yeah,
that's nice of you.
I'm already better looking than them.
Right.
You know, like.
I hear you, man.
Huh?
Same. If I was into that.
Are you offended?
No.
I didn't think so.
I don't know. Maybe
we're not friends.
So I love how all over the place this is.
I was like, what were you friends
It all started with a thumb button.
Thumb button. Yeah. Next thing we're talking about beta blockers and taking steroids.
How quickly it turns.
Welcome to Working Class Bow Hunter.
I guess to finish up what I was saying about that.
What were you saying?
I was talking about target panic. You know, how it can always rear its ugly head regardless of where you're at in your career. And I've had to deal with it a few times, but typically I'll go to the thumb button and it's just amazing. You're using a different digit of your hand to engage the shot and it just seems like you can aim better and you know, groups will shrink. And you're like, all right.
So go from index to a thumb button.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Find a guy who sells beta blockers.
Yes, exactly.
I must get to step three.
beta blockers are like a heartbeat good
step
medication.
Help me a lot.
Are they?
It will slow your heart rate down. Yeah, I actually have to take beta blockers in the.
So you're already cheating.
Oh, well,
only at night. I'm not on them right now. Yeah.
What is a beta blocker? What is
it? It's basically, so if you have an autoimmune disease type thing, I'm not talking about the AIDS or anything, but if you have
the AIDS.
Yeah.
All right.
But if you have an autoimmune
worldwide pandemic, no big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. But if you have anything going like that, it can kind of keep your body from attacking itself.
Oh. Keeps and, you like you
know,
calm.
Of course, I'm not an MD or a nurse, you know, disclaimer, but. That's pretty close.
A lot of doctors listen to this podcast, so I'm sure one of them will write in.
They'll write in. You need to get that madman guy. You know,
we'll hear from him.
So
here's the prescription.
So, DA, you haven't kicked me for us going off track, or did we say what we needed to say?
I'm just taking it all in, and I'll just put beta these blockers. Little packages together. And just okay, so interesting point about the league is we provide a platform, too, okay? Not for those social media influencers and stuff like that. It's for the madmen. Why do you take beta blockers?
Well,
so we can win the bow hunting league.
I had a little incident back.
Was it two times?
Yeah, I actually died for my country twice. So.
Okay, here I am making jokes like an asshole.
No.
Being a dick
it's all
bag.
Good, man. My wife's actually my hero. She actually performed CPR on me.
No kidding.
Yeah, so I got hit with the paddles twice and. You know, not to give you my life story here, but
skim over it like it's no big deal.
No big deal.
You're only dead twice.
Yeah, 2014, I got hit with sudden cardiac death. So basically, you know, I'm a walking, talking miracle. Not many people come back from that. But mm-hmm. Woke up, you know, with a pacemaker in my chest, and they tell me I've got cardiac sarcoidosis, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But duck season was in, so I'm like, man, when can I get back in the duck blind? You know, I'm ready to smash some ducks. But that's a true story. But
dude, everything around you is in danger, isn't it?
Yeah, most days.
I love it.
He's just like killing shit.
I'm a squirrel in the yard.
I eat it, though. I mean, yeah. Sure, it's legit. Yeah, this is what we live off of, so I take it pretty serious.
Yeah.
But, you know, back to why is this guy taking beta blockers and why does he know? Because basically it keeps, you know, so cardiac sarcoidosis is very rare. Most people have sarcoid in their lungs, so pulmonary, but they said that that's what Lynn – you know, led to me, you know, sudden cardiac death. They hit me with the paddles twice. And it also caused a little bit of short-term memory loss. So mm-hmm. if I tell you guys the same story a couple times, don't look at me weird.
Dude, you tell them so good. We just love to hear it again.
Yeah. I appreciate the kind words, brother. But yeah, so that's why I know about beta blockers. And I call it heart be good, you know.
Mm-hmm. Heart
so,
be good.
Yeah. It's better to be on heart be good than brain be good. But
so I wonder, like, if you competed in competition archery, would they be like, hey, man?
I don't think so.
He's probably prescribed it, right?
Oh, yeah. It's legit, and it's at such a low dose. I take it at bedtime, and
then you're good. Oh, so yeah. I wonder, like, what the difference would be, like, take it for function versus, like, performance function of, like, because and maybe beta, when I was using that term, it's wrong, but from my understanding, it's like so you wouldn't get nervous and, like, shake under the pressure of the moment.
Yeah, I would say definitely help him with the way he was misusing that, you know, prescription drug, definitely, you know, I'd say that's definitely a misuse.
Do you feel any of that? Like, does it like cut out to like
calm me down?
You know,
I guess you're sleeping.
Yeah. I'm pretty high speed, low drag. So, you know, I don't really
notice it much.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
So
interesting.
So. Tying this back. I mean, this is the guy that I want people to see. Mm-hmm. You know, we got a group full of them.
Well, I had to go ahead.
I was going
to
say, I was really excited that we did the podcast with y'all last year because our communities link up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awesome watching a lot of your people just crush it this year. Is it Dominic Sheets?
Yeah.
Yep.
He's shitty Virginia, taste in right? hockey teams, but he crushes deer.
He shoots a lot of deer.
And we get to watch that and celebrate it with him. You know, we get to give these Chad Heppners, and we're watching them just crush the season. And then I see people reaching out to him, and he's making their life better. It's just, we are not about what can we have, what can we take from you. It's about what can we give you.
Yeah,
amen.
And that's
amen.
The most important thing is like, how can I add value to you? Mm-hmm. It's not what can I take from you. So that's I love seeing people like this that are the face of the league. Because Ben and I were just
fucking weird. We're not good on
I don't want to I'm an introvert by trade. I don't
he is
want
extremely
I want to be
introverted.
Behind the seat. Yeah. Like I don't want to be doing things. These are the people that I want you all to see and meet and hear.
Yeah,
about.
They're your flagships.
Yeah.
You need flagships, you know. You guys are like the we'll go Elon Musk's of bow hunting league. I was gonna go Mark Zuckerberg, but neither one of you guys are weird.
I'm basically
or aliens.
I'm basically retarded.
Well, you don't got to put yourself on blast on the podcast.
I mean, I pretty much am. Like, I can't keep track of anything. But I will throw my ideas at him, and he's like, that sucks, and then I'll trash it.
Okay,
that's
a dumb idea.
Then I'll throw another idea, and he's like, that's actually a really good idea.
Well, that's part of the fun. I mean,
that is, you know. And
we do that shit on the hourly.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I called Eric today. Actually, Eric can't disclose what we were talking about, but we got something coming on the line. I called Eric. I'm like, hey, we need a name for this. And you're like, blah, 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 blah. Spit it out. I'm like, wow, fuck, there it is. Yeah. All right.
Thanks. I got you.
All right, buddy. Now. Get back to work. I'll talk to you later.
You know, it's cool, though, you know, saying it all, like, every single capacity, if somebody wants to increase their Instagram following, or if somebody wants to, you know, promote themselves, or if somebody just wants to hang out, maybe meet if, you know, they just got into bow hunting. There's so many capacities that we allow. And what's cool is guys can, you know, listeners to the Working Class Bowhunter podcast, they can compete against you guys. You know, y'all've got two really solid teams. okay?
He ain't going to beat us.
But if they do...
See, that's fun, though.
If they do, yeah. You see him up at, fifth or first or whatever, guess what? That's something that they accomplished together with their friends.
Yeah.
And, you recognize it for whatever it's worth. Mm-hmm. Don't degrade how much it means to, for somebody, somebody that follows and stuff and that achieves a higher level than you did that season, mm-hmm. That it actually means something.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun. And like, they're like, man, I had a banner year and I whipped up on 800, 1,000 teams.
The stars have to align.
Dude, they do.
For you to win. Yeah. Or for you to be top 20.
Yeah.
Everyone's got to kill a pretty good buck or two guy or whatever, but it's camaraderie fun. It'd be like they got an active bet right now for this season.
What is it?
Between... I don't give a shit about the Illinois team as long as I beat Doug this year. He's on my team.
That's bigger. He's on your team. The year or whatever.
No, it's brutal. It's brutal.
What? Let's talk about it.
First of all, show them the tat from our first bet we had. Okay,
so we lost, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah,
5 years.
Whatever it was. So we had a bet going, whoever shot the last deer had to get a tattoo.
And they chose, right?
Any deer.
Any deer. Last person to shoot a deer has to get a tattoo. I was the last one to shoot a deer, so.
I've
there's my little picture. Animated deer.
I've seen that.
And I'm low-key jealous. Like, I kind of just want to
get it. Turned out way better than I thought.
Yeah. That's
nice. Took me a couple years to get it.
It's all right.
A couple.
But you did it. That's all that matters.
I did it.
You got short legs like that.
So what? That's your buck, man.
Yeah.
That's T-Rex.
That's a pony.
His antlers.
What was that, Eric? Was that 4.5 years ago?
Yeah. For sure.
That's nice. Maybe you can get me tatted behind it.
Maybe get like 10 feet behind it.
Yeah, like 10 feet off behind to the side. Yeah.
So the new challenge is it's a little different.
Okay. Lay it out for me.
So the first challenge was like whoever. I don't want to word this. Whoever shot the biggest deer would win. So I proposed to Doug, like, if I shot a bigger deer, he'd have to shave his mustache.
Ooh. And that's Doug's whole personality.
That's worse than a tat.
I can't do that.
It is.
but a mustache can go back. You can't remove a tattoo.
But that's like mental damage, too.
Did you hear my rebuttal was? No. He's got to name his next kid after me, and he wouldn't do that.
Yeah, because I said, hey, fuck totally nuts, you can grow your mustache back. I can't rename my kid.
Oh, where's my...
Your kid can rename himself when he's of age.
Anyway, so we settled on, have you ever heard of the Pacu chip?
Hey, hold on, can you imagine a baby named Doug?
I love one. So no. I could.
It'd be so silly nowadays.
Is your name Doug or Douglas?
Douglas.
Okay.
Douglas Fur.
Oh, what's his name? Doug. Oh.
Loser.
Nerd.
Shut up. That's a great name.
Yeah. Pacu chip. Is that like chip that you eat?
Yeah, it's like the hottest chip.
The hottest chip.
It's like $40 for one chip, whatever.
It's the hottest chip.
They send
in the world.
You one chip. Yeah.
Yep. So Doug thinks ketchup is spicy. So
I don't think that.
It's true, actually.
Since he wouldn't shave his mustache, I'm like, okay, whoever shoots the biggest buck doesn't have to eat the Pacu chip. Whoever shoots the smallest buck has to eat it.
Okay.
So that's our bet right now.
Mind you, Eric has never killed a bigger buck than me. Ever.
Bold
that,
bet.
Not one season.
Okay. It's your year. You picked a good year.
I'm going hard in the fucking paint.
See, it just makes this
fun. That's a good bet for our team.
You might want to start training with, like,
you know what I'm saying?
That's what it's all about.
It's
that's healthy for our own team, though.
What it is like, great. It's with our crew. It only benefits us because this is great coverage, right? Like, Doug thinks ketchup is spicy. Eric doesn't mind spicy things. But Doug, percentage-wise in the draft picks, would normally be the pick for the bigger buck. But Eric's coming in with the confidence of a strong underdog to beat the Iowa WCB champion. So what's it going to be? The main event starts October 1.
Hey.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to that text, though. Whoever kills like a big one, like, hey, good luck.
Does it have to come from Iowa?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because
we're talking
y'all
Iowa.
Y'all are only hunting Iowa, this year.
Yep.
And you get
too many trips going on.
How many tags? Are y'all landowners?
No.
So you don't get a landowner tag.
No, we're all.
I got screwed out of a landowner's tag.
Yeah.
We're all shooting the same score here.
Yeah. So one.
topic for another podcast?
Yeah.
Okay.
$1.
Me and the BNR are not friends.
Doug, don't shoot the first one you see. Because this guy
you
is
talk to him.
Doug he's watches birds in the first 20 of them.
Yeah. I have the tiger over there.
Okay, here's what's hungry. Like, here's what like this main event.
Like, take a pic. He's sending the pics to everybody but Eric. Like, do y'all think Eric's going to kill anything bigger than this?
So here's where this...
Eric, how big is that deer?
He better not.
Here's where this main event gets even spicier for the people. I'm like the fight promoter for this main event.
You Joe Rogan at this one.
I'm the Joe Rogan of this one. I'll take that for this competition going on. Doug located a honey hole. Eric knows where the honey hole is.
Oh.
Both of them killed bucks in said honey hole.
Same tree.
Same tree last year. Who gets to the honey hole first?
Before I did the same thing. I get it.
Who found it?
It's mine.
You did not find it because we know this for a fact.
Yeah, but it's mine.
Is it public?
Rock, paper, scissors?
Technically,
yes. It's public.
Hey, rock, paper, scissors?
No, whoever shoots a doe first gets the spot.
Oh.
Ooh. That sounds fair.
Is that a bet inside the bet?
Yes.
God damn it is. Ooh. Did they get it?
Sorry.
Oh, wait, they and they just, on it. Just for the all rest right. of the day,
whoever
just shook on it.
Whoever shoots a doe first gets the spot.
That's awesome.
So you're saying gets the spot like you say, hey, I hunt it first, and you decide when you hunt it first.
Okay.
So you're like cold front November 5th.
Ooh.
I'm going to the spot
It's more
first.
Like Eric has a kid. See, I'm in the spot.
Okay. So here's where this here's where this main event gets
that's,
even
that's below the belt.
Spicier.
Okay. Not my problem. Hey, not my problem.
Can I spice it a little more with your permission?
Hey.
Oh, geez.
We're eating the pack you chip. It's not spicy enough. Let's spice it up even more.
All right.
Why is that spicy?
Eric has a buck that he's known about is honing in on that if he kills, and if he kills, it'll probably be early. Yep. Based on RMI? No. What's marked?
MRI.
Most recent
information.
Yes, REI. Where was I going? Yeah. The store?
Fucking canoe? It's a hippie store.
Granola?
Mountain
That if Eric kills this buck, Doug might as well just eat the chip.
No, that's not true.
Oh.
I'd be in trouble, but not that much. Like, easy. I'm not going to eat a chip right away.
You might as well order that fucking chip. We're going to shadow box frame for it, and we'll put it right over Doug's head.
We need to order it tomorrow.
We'll hang it up there on by the elite sign on the wall.
So just here and ready to go.
And we'll put
go.
A little like hammer, then you bring up the glass.
Put a little hammer hanging
there. A button. Grab the chip.
Yeah. Are you nervous, Doug?
No, not really.
You're not worried at all?
No.
It's kind of you have everything to lose because everybody already expects Eric to be eating this.
See,
chip.
Eric, he gets a little jumpy on things. He can see like 115. He's like,
nothing wrong.
Do you
with
even
that.
Know me?
Yeah, I do. That's the thing.
Yeah, you do.
Either way, it's going to be pretty fun for like listeners. And I'm actually excited to like. I'm commentating it now officially.
Yep.
I'm pretty excited for it. It's going to be fun,
can
right?
Can we get one of those, like, you know, the promotional posters and stuff made?
We need to, like, record the phone call.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like me and him, like, face off with our bows in our hands.
I'm going to need to take a couple photos for you guys leave today. I'm making a promo.
We see, like, her bows and stuff and, like...
Promo poster?
Yeah.
No. Let me do it.
Y'all are the main event.
Hey. I got this.
Can we do a... what do they do, like, the before the fight where they're sitting there talking to each other?
Press conferences?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, shit. Yeah, we can do
you
all
need to
that.
Separate everybody.
If only we had some microphones and a fucking video camera.
Is that all we need?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, we'll buy that.
We'll have to buy a couple mics.
press conference.
Anyway, that's what we're... See?
I'm wearing a full-on fucking suit to that.
Yep.
So, anyway, that's what we got going on.
Our lives. The pre-fight hype.
It's fun, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. Friendly shit giving.
First guy to kill the doe gets the spot.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I got it.
Yeah, but that's just for that spot.
Million of them.
It's going to be fun. What?
Is that for sit, though, or is that like.
You can't take my doe spot either.
No, that's
so are you
to kill.
So, all right, now we got to make sure this doe playing field's even. Are we doing this? Is this a public land doe?
The piece that they're competing for the one spot is public, yes.
Yeah. So, but as far as the doe, because the doe matters now.
The doe matters for that spot.
So yeah. Are we doing public land doe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got to be from that piece.
Well just yeah, okay. So you know.
Awesome.
Guess what we added this year?
BFDs.
BFDs. Big fat doe contest.
Yep.
They're back. Really?
Yep.
So explain that.
Ooh.
Shit.
So
Kurt would have won that.
We actually handed this off to
random people.
We used to do this. And dude, to be honest with you, like all the inner workings and all these
10.5-year-old doe let me see certificate.
That's awesome. Dude.
By the way, everyone should do that. Age their deer. It's just nice to know.
Who's this from though?
I can't remember the company. Mark Reif, our buddy's a taxidermist.
Okay. We always get that information.
That's nice.
They do like the front teeth where they put the blue dye.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've got a buck I got to send off.
It's legit. I didn't fucking make that.
That's really cool, dude.
That's cool.
So, like, but, you know, we're going to kind of let them set it up. But it's probably going to be field dressed weight of each doe per state. And we're going to round up prizes for the states. And but because realistically your state matters.
Yeah, for sure.
You're gonna if you kill an 85-pound field dressed doe in Alabama, it's a big girl.
I think this doe was 174.
Yeah,
dressed.
That's a tank. That's a tank.
Big bitch.
We had 180 killed the first year we did that, and everybody's like, "Wow, that's not real."
That's
like,
fake.
I'm
yeah.
sure it's real.
Like, no,
I mean it's in Wisconsin. They're around.
Oh,
it's
even,
in
yeah.
Wisconsin.
Even more likely.
And that's
here.
Why it like, and
they're
that's the thing.
In Wisconsin.
Like, you know, like you
it's
know,
in
we,
Florida.
You know, you have these pockets, right? You know, you can go, but you know, you have these pockets of giant rack deer.
Yeah,
but nothing is more defined than Bergman's rule. What do you guys know? What you ever heard of Bergman's rule?
No,
I don't think so.
Please explain for the hillbilly.
Yeah, it's fine. So, like, Bergman's rule is like your the surface area actually decreases as you increase in latitude. So, like,
for instance,
like you have longer legs and more surface area the lower you are, like closer you are to the equator. That way, you can dispense heat quickly,
right?
And denser body mass and stuff as you increase in latitude
above my pay grade.
So
this makes actually a ton of sense when you think about it.
And you know when you know realistically, we don't give our states enough credit. You know, everybody's always hammering the DNRs, right? We don't give the DNRs enough credit because when they repopulated the deer populations, they pulled from different areas, you know, like north and south of where they're at. That way they can have an actual, you know, the correct.
That's why Alabama has like five different peak ruts because their deer herd is so diverse. Yeah. A lot of their deer came from Michigan.
All Texas and Michigan.
So they don't just come down and die from heat exhaustion pretty much.
They want the right body type. Right.
Well, it's just how moose get bigger the further you go north, right? Like, is that the same comparison? You
Alaska,
go down to the
Yukon versus the
Coos deer are tiny because they're in the heat, right? That's pretty much accurate.
So that's why you want the Big Fat Doe contest. That's what it stands for, Big Fat Doe. The BFD contest.
Big fucking doe. That's what I'll just call it.
Big fucking deal or whatever, you know.
Yeah, right.
but you know, that's what it stands for because it's going to be state specific. That way you can like have a competition within your state.
Yeah.
Realistically, it's not that big of a deal, but it's something fun that everybody can participate in. Because realistically,
how do they enter? Like, how do they like
just fit, like it's going to be really easy, but and it's going to be all in a thread on the Facebook group.
It's easy, but it's efficient. So we're always fine tuning.
We're going to do Facebook Live.
So hey, clean it up for us, DA.
No, this one's simple. So I mean, you got to show that it's dressed. Wing. You know,
dressed.
There's nothing in the cavity. There it is on the scale. Take a picture of the scale.
Mm-hmm. Easy peasy.
Yeah.
I might jump on that one. I'm good for a pretty good doe every year.
Yeah, and it's something fun to do. And like I'm expecting this ramp up in December, you know, like in January, like December, January. Like, hey, you know, I probably would like at least a little more jerky for the year.
Yeah.
And like, so like, I got summer that really sausage. Big freaking deer headed doe on camp.
Is it dressed?
Dressed. Yeah, so dressed. And like realistically, because they're being weighed, you know, these are going to be a lot of private land deer. I mean,
and you're going to have a lot of 1 to 5 pound discrepancies over scales.
Yeah, yeah. And that, but, and just keeping it digital lighthearted. Digital versus analog. Yeah, just keeping it lighthearted and just saying, like, hey, it is what it is. Like, just be honest. And that, you know, realistically, like, you know, and, you know, we, because you kind of touched on something like there's discrepancies and stuff. Everything we do is based off integrity.
Mm-hmm.
Once you break that integrity, and once you break your, you know, like once you prove that you don't have integrity or you lie on stuff, you're gone.
Yeah,
you get rid of people. Mm-hmm. But we grow every year, so like, you know, everything's based off integrity. But it's kind of refreshing.
It is.
Why do you need somebody to tell you like yeah, you're not, you know, you're not doing this right, you know, you know, and even like. One shot when the guys measure their own thing, like you can't tell, like within, it's like over a quarter inch discrepancy a lot of times, like based off camera angle, but you can't see what they're seeing. You're seeing what the camera sees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, and that, it's just like this scale thing with the deer con, like the big fat doe contest, it's going to be, there's going to be some discrepancy there.
Yeah.
And, but it's, what's cool is like, it kind of, it's refreshing because, hey, you know, trust somebody. You know, just freaking trust them. It's a big fat doe contest.
It's fun.
And that's the thing. You should just be like, you're hanging out with the boys and just like, and that's what's neat is we're able to add another element.
Yeah.
And, but this all, like we did it 1 year and like, it was a pain in the butt to keep track of along with the deer contest.
We used to do it with the WCB crew.
Yep.
And we'll do it again.
And see, y'all can just jump in there and just toss your entries.
Yeah,
in
then
there.
We can just double down and
double down.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, double down.
We got down. So what's funny is we got
she had
guys,
really long eyelashes.
We've got some people. You never
she
know.
Had long
what,
legs.
You never know what like trips somebody's trigger. We got some guys that are just pumped the hell up for this. Like they're like, I'm upgrading 3 times. Like, you know, they just like keep trying to upgrade their dough. Oh, like it's. I mean, you don't know what. Get people fired up. And this guy right here, he will shoot like freaking 12, 15 does with his bow this year. He'll be traveling all over the place. You've got some families
getting
you
excited
to.
Over there.
Oh, yes.
He's got families he donates
all
to.
All them beta blockers make it easy for him to shoot all the deer.
So the caveat, we're going to drug test.
Son of a gun.
Only for the dunk competition.
This year for bowling league, you got to take a whiz quiz.
I'm out. Steroids.
Yeah, obviously.
So I can... drag my deer out easier, you know?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How do you guys handle when someone like scores a deer and they send it in and you're like, well,
so this is an improvement.
That's a little high.
This is an improvement that we made this last year.
That's easy to tell though, kind of.
Well, we used to do the integrity thing, and you're right, a 120 would turn into a 140, and it was happening too much and it causes a little drama. So now that's where you have to send in measurements, send a G2, send a mass measurement, spread or something like that, and then we've got enough people on our panel that can look at it and be like, yeah, that's legit. Or you see them measuring in the wrong spot, like, nope, you got to do this.
Yeah
we can self-correct. So if we had a 40% error rate before, we're down to sub 10.
So what I thought about doing, awesome. And I'm probably too busy again to do it this year. We have some goals because I was a old barn taxidermy drop off, but I'm not going to do that again this year. I need a better setup for like volume we could take in, but I'm a measurer. And I talked about maybe guys that are in the competition locally, like helping them with measuring, but I'm probably going to pass this year, but don't count me out. Like, I think if that's something you guys ever want to do in the future, like time allowing,
absolutely,
I'd be up to do something like
that.
Do
you have the cable and the clip here?
Yeah, like, I got the whole deal. Yeah.
You got it all.
Just like check out your kit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'll show you. Yeah. I got a really impressive suitcase right here that. Yeah, and then plus I got Bucky. We just did the podcast with Bucky. You said you listened to that. He's like the fucking guy to go to. Like, so I actually had a weird with my deer. I don't know if you remember my buck I shot last year. His burr was, I didn't even notice it until I got back to get him to the house. And then I noticed he had another point. And then skinning him out, I realized his point wrapped. He had a tine that circled around and went underneath it. It was just buried in his hair. And I actually FaceTime Bucky first. And I'm like, hey, how do I've never ran into that. And I measured a lot of deer, but not like what Bucky's measured. Right. And I'm like, how would I measure this? I'm like, oh, that changes my score. So then I went through and sent a bunch of pictures with the tape, cable wrapped and all the shit. Anyway, Bucky's my go-to guy.
Yep. He is the guy.
He is the measuring guy. And no one is more passionate about measuring than Bucky is.
That's right.
That dude loves everything about
horns. Those are some awesome podcasts, too, to, such to get churched up
and he's awesome.
On how to do it.
Yeah, and he's awesome.
Is he local?
He's in Wisconsin. He's 5 hours from here.
I was going to say, your next shoot, you should bring him down. If people
he was down.
Him. He was down. Me and he's scoring.
Me and Chad both.
I'm saying if someone shoots a really cool buck, have him bring it to the shoot next year.
Oh,
let him mess around
with
it.
He would love that.
That'd
be cool.
Eat it up.
Yep.
He was just on the panel for Boone and Crockett, like to measure the current records. Mm-hmm. Top five from each species. That whole detailed podcast is still in the hopper. It's coming. And it's fucking cool.
It's mind blowing.
Say something about that.
So he's like the guy. Like, he's the man for.
And you said that video of Bucky doing some measurement, like in here in the studio. Is that somebody can look up on YouTube or whatever?
Yeah. So we did an instructional video on how to measure a typical and non-typical whitetail.
Awesome.
We'll share it to the page.
There you go.
Yeah. Right to the page.
He runs through all the details. We'll show you guys a video after the podcast. But he's a good dude to know. Not only is he an amazing human being, he's like one of my favorite humans, I think.
He's amazing. Yeah.
He's the fucking best.
I think I did too.
Honestly,
after watching Bucky, I'm like,
what's that?
So he's all underscores his deer. I'm like, I think I did too after watching Bucky. I'm like,
Chandler's really bad at that. I've re-measured a couple of deer that Chandler, like that he'd had, like historical. Mm-hmm. I'm like, let me measure. I'm like, dude, you're shorting these deer like 5 inches. Like just being not going down to the baseline enough, like where the like
draw the line
in the video, Bucky shows how to do your baseline on your tines. Mm-hmm. And a lot of guys like Chandler who are conservative hike up on the tine a little too much where they make that. It's hard to explain. In the video, we talk about how it should be a consistent line down the beam. When it hits the tine, it shouldn't crawl up at the tine.
Right. And people stop there.
And people stop there. But then on the opposite side of things, guys are measuring down to the bottom of the beam for their tine, and they're adding an inch and a half.
Right.
Each tine.
Guys are measuring at the biggest H circumference measurement for each, when it should be the smallest. Yeah. So you're adding how much? Who knows? Depends
like
on the
pedicle.
Yeah.
Like, oh, right.
Oh, it's huge.
The base is on this. Son of a bitch.
That's one thing we did last year. Like, we saw it like immediately. We were having all these 6-inch bases, and I'm like, that's not that doesn't
takes
happen.
A lot to get a 6-inch base.
6-inch H1 measurement is world class.
Yep.
That's it. There are very few deer do that, and so we just said, hey, you guys got to send us a photo of your largest H1 measurement and your a measurement pick of the largest tine measurement.
Mm-hmm.
And what it did is it just showed competency. And like once we know they were competent, we trust them.
Yeah.
Like if there is an error, we just say, hey, you just didn't do it correctly. You're not lying.
Adjust here.
It sucks because like I really do. Like I give everybody the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Like we all do. Like you have to. You would lose your mind if you thought everybody was cheating all the time.
It wouldn't be any fun.
No, it would not be fun.
So many people.
And what's nice is once somebody learns how to score deer, they can score deer for their friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. They can go through and score old deer.
Well, like that video I think will be a big help. Yeah. If it helps, we have the YouTube link. You guys could post in there. But
yeah.
If you want me to upload directly to Facebook and share it to there, I can.
Yeah,
that'd be whatever good. Would be
or just
better.
Just post it directly to it. Just if you have like the video, just
I'll just get you the link. Yep. You do your thing with it, and then I don't got to worry about it.
Would be cool because like, and you know how the Facebook like the algorithms would work.
If they'd post it.
Realistically, the algorithms like if we post it, more people will see it.
So let's just do that because then otherwise it's just gonna get blocked out
and just like oh
yeah.
350 people saw this.
And Bucky is legitimate. Like for anyone that hears this and then sees that in the group, like
he's legit.
He's he got invited to be on the panel for Boone and Crockett. Like that's how records, and they take that shit seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a very honorable thing to get invited on the panel. Yeah, so
that's big potatoes right there.
Not talking about 162s.
No, we're talking like the biggest.
Yeah,
of all the species
ever.
Yeah. We're talking like 262s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
That's what that one scored actually.
Yeah. Massive. So
huge.
Wow.
Boys, this has been fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
had a good time.
Absolutely.
We've been trekking along for a while now. That's what's...
Yeah. I mean, like, and we get in here and we just kind of jam it up and stuff.
That's what it's about.
You know, because we didn't know you guys. The first time I met y'all, and actually, you know, that's the thing. Like, I had my head down. I had no idea. I didn't really listen to any podcast or anything before Iowa last year, mm-hmm. you know, and then when I went to the Iowa shoot, somebody recommended, say, hey, you need to go talk to those guys. They're awesome. I'm like, who is that?
Mm-hmm.
So I went up and I was like, hey, you know, nice to meet y'all. This is what we do. And then we ended up working together. But over this last year, I just working with you guys and seeing, like, listening to your stuff and stuff, like, it's cool, man. Made some new friends.
Yeah,
you know, sure. And that's what it's all about. And what's neat is, like, if we fast forward 5 years, you know, where are both things? You know, where's this podcast in 5 years? Where's the Bow Hunting League in 5 years? And I feel like there are a lot of parallels mm-hmm. that I'm seeing happen, and a lot of the same community type building things you guys are doing. Just like the shoot, and just like, you know, just the simple camaraderie stuff that's going on.
Trade show hangouts and shit like that.
Lots. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, as long as we're still doing it, I'll be happy.
You know, that's the thing. I mean? There was, you know, when you started, we both started the same year. We both started in 2015.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, there were, you know, if you look back on those things, like, you know, why, you know, let's do this. What is that? mm-hmm. You know, I'm not, you're having to educate your own friends on what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right.
And now, you're kind of setting a standard. You know, we are the largest free bow hunting competition. We are actually the largest bow hunting competition. The other ones, you know, there are other contests out there, but they include guns and crossbows. We are the largest bow hunting competition that will ever exist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You guys are going to, you know, if you're not already there, you're going to be the largest bow hunting podcast that ever existed. And it's going to be cool, like, seeing the parallels, because, you know, as, you know, hopefully we can grow the sport together.
Let's do it.
We can bring people in, you know, convert people to bow hunting, get people in the outdoors, get people doing these things, these fun things, and have them and show them that, hey, everything isn't doom and gloom. Quit worrying about freaking gas prices, worrying about that next deer you're going to kill. Worry about things
that you
can control. You know, focus on things you can control. Live your life. Yeah. Don't lose a year. You know, don't lose a season. Make a plan. You know, network with some people. Get out there and go bow hunting and have a good time.
Hey,
for sure.
Isn't it crazy what bow hunting can do?
Mm-hmm.
So
preach.
I'm looking at this table. All right, you're talking about fast forward in 5 years. Rewind 10 years. Okay. Probably a jock. You were a baseball player. You were losing your girlfriend to the hockey players. You know what I mean?
Not in Tennessee. Baseball is king in Tennessee.
But then over here, you know, garage shows, basement shows, BMX.
Yeah.
You guys would have fucking hated each other in high school.
We would not have.
You would never have been friends. But, no. But you
just like knew my life.
Gaslighting everything.
Also, huge douchebag.
Son of a gun.
Nailed me. The head. And Doug's over here getting straight A's and everything but English.
Yeah, Doug didn't know what the inside of a vagina looked like for years.
I just got along with everybody. That's what I did.
Sorry, that was a graphic, but we're almost 3 hours in.
Hung on this long.
That was rude.
You fast forward to these platforms.
But true.
No.
You fast forward to these communities, and this is what we do. We all get along. We all understand the passion, and we want to bring everyone along with it. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
for sure.
I'm excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I commend you guys for the great job you guys are doing for a platform that could have turned south with how involved with the internet you are. And I've just been impressed with that over everything else the whole time.
Absolutely.
So, great fucking job.
Hands down.
Honestly. And
thank you.
I wish the best for you guys, and we'll support the shit out of you. There's a bunch of team WCB whatever in the bow hunting league, and that's fun.
Yeah, y'all got a bunch.
We got it's close friends that are like, hey, can I throw WCB on the team? Or it's team WCB members that we have.
But right.
mm-hmm. if it's a close friend, it's like, yeah, rock it. That's fun.
And
you know, it's
so
kind
of
cool.
neat. Yeah. Like several of those guys I've become friends with. Like, you know, like Phil built his own turkey team.
He's the man.
Dude, and like this guy,
he
like,
brought these Lone Star beers.
Yeah,
for
that's
us,
what I'm
actually.
Saying. We've been drinking on this dime all night.
Glad I'm glad that we didn't open that. I don't know how they didn't get opened at the shoot.
Yeah, they're
either.
Fantastic. I don't know what. You
I didn't
know,
even
but
know they were
Texas.
In there.
Doug, give it a 5 point what rating?
5.2.
All right, could be better, but it's still, I mean, the gesture really means a lot to us, Phil.
Thanks.
Better than Coors Light.
But yeah, it's cool, man.
Coors Light's a zero.
And realistically, like, if somebody has, like, a similar passion, like, if they're in it for the right reason, you know, other podcasts or hunting groups or Facebook groups, they can all hop in this thing. Like, we're not possessive. Like, I mean, like, you know, get in there, get in there with, your podcast.
I got a
thing.
Question.
Go ahead.
Have there been reluctancy from like TV or YouTube show hunters because of like ego hurtings, do you think?
So, we have,
So just say it.
How do I
just
word it?
Say it.
Yeah,
how do you say it, man? We're 3 hours deep. So.
They have. If they've been, if they're still here, they're loyal or whatever. You know.
Shout out to you.
We have TV. We've had TV personalities compete in this, and what happens is it exposes things that they do, and
they don't get the same love.
They don't get the same love. You think, you know, they come in thinking they're gonna like, oh, I'm here, and like, you guys are welcome that I'm here, and nobody gives a shit. And like, and then they're
everyone's
like,
just doing their thing.
And then the thing is, right. Like, I'm not, when I come in there and I post a buck, like, I'm proud of that buck,
right?
Like, and I'm like, I'm sharing it because I want everybody to see it. Like, it's not like to like one up anybody, but like, there are egos and stuff that do that sometimes, and they don't get the same love. And then people, you know, they already have like a little light on them. You know, they're like, oh, like you're with so and so, and you've got this show on Sportsman's channel. Or
but I don't think they should get hate by the community.
They don't get hated on. Yeah. They just don't get that energy, and like you really. And I think it brings them back to reality, and like, maybe I'm a regular guy, and maybe I should try harder, and like, maybe actually, you know, try to help people or network some instead of like showing up at an outfitter at lunch and saying, hey, you're going to go sit in this blind. Oh, dump is 145.
That's dying though, don't you think?
145. What's that?
That's dying though. Over time.
What does T-Bone always say? Billy Joe Lunch Bucket. I love that, right, man. Yeah. Like, it's just, so he's no so better that, than anybody so, yeah, else. And, part you know, of it. We're all just deer hunters.
So,
you know,
exactly. So that,
exactly.
Love it.
Exactly.
So that's going to survive as long as we're paying $50,000 for that slot. Right?
Yeah, right. On TV, you're saying. Yeah,
right.
For the network.
Now the guys that did it the right way, like, you know, the ones that I'm talking about that did it the right way and that, you know, that are on, I'm not hating on everybody that's on TV. You know, I've obviously not, because that was my entertainment when I was going through
high school.
A lot
of guys have worked their asses off to build a brand.
Oh my gosh. Building, like, just like look at like, and I have no idea who you're friends with or which, you know, who you know or anything, but I like look at like the Lukowskis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, so Lee was an engineer, jumped out of that, bought a farm, started farming, built his own farm, built his entire, you know, set up.
Self-made.
He is smashing giants through management and doing everything.
Mark and Terry.
He's still out running the freaking tractor. Yeah. And like, and what I'm saying is like, I'm all in on it. Like, obviously Lee Lukowski probably won't compete in our contest, but what I'm saying is like, somebody that's legit and real, they will thrive. It's the ones that act like something that they actually aren't.
Like they're the gift to your competition.
Yeah, like, you're welcome. I'm here. You know, like,
right.
And they
praise
don't,
me.
They don't. They, and see what it is.
Give
they
me
just
love. That's what
they,
I do. But
they just
I
fade.
Say something Doug would do.
They literally fade away. First off, because they're not in the top of anything, they can't beat a Chad Hettner because he's freaking running around shooting the deer in freaking seven or eight.
He's
states.
Up there in every week.
Yeah, this guy's like, I'm ready.
Taking
to
beta
like,
blockers,
yeah,
running
beta
down deer.
Well,
yeah, you've unlocked my secret.
Yeah,
and, sorry, man.
But and it's
out.
Never
it's
gonna out. Never gonna live that down.
Mountain Dew beta blockers,
but it's cool.
No Mountain Dew. Can't do the Dew.
Okay.
You see guys doing their own thing. Like, I mean, even like, we have youth that are, you know, that have, you know, like Aaliyah.
Mm-hmm.
She's in Ohio with her dad planting, you know, do you know Aaliyah?
I don't think so.
So David I cannot.
You are on a rabbit hole.
Yeah, I'm in a rabbit hole. But like, it's just like her. She's smashing giants, and they're doing it on their own farm and stuff, and building their own food plots and stuff.
I want to plug this in really quick. So you're asking about TV hunters and stuff like that. I don't think
you're done.
Competitions are a popular topic with a lot of people in the hunting community. Yeah. I mean, I hate to say that, but I understand it.
But you know, they're just focused on different things.
They are. So I think these TV hunters are not going to come with us or sign up because they're going to worry about what is the second, third order effect of being a part of that. Oh, you're just in there shooting deer for a competition. You don't actually respect them, blah, blah, blah. I think they put too much thought into it, and that's why we're never going to see too many true TV hunters.
Yeah.
We have some wannabes.
Yeah. Well, in defense, and I think TV hunter sounds a little derogatory, a little bit, but like, I think people that are in the hunting media business,
you give yourself that much credit.
Yeah. We're not TV hunters,
you're right?
But I think people, consumers of content, don't understand the amount of work that goes into people that produce content for the outdoor industry because they don't understand like deliverables and the meetings if they're a true creator of content, their brains are a lot of other places.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'll be honest, that's why you don't really see us like building a huge community of friendship in that group. Yeah, we're in there and we'll comment when we can, but like we're just not as involved as deeply there because we're so many other places for what our primary is, you know.
You can do one thing well. You can do one thing well.
You're right. You're right.
If you go and say, "Hey, guess what? I'm gonna do the podcast, and guess what? We're gonna all film our hunts this year, and I'm doing all the editing." Something's gonna struggle.
Oh, yeah.
Something's gonna get sacrificed.
Yeah.
So you can do one thing well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
that's why I think the whitetail, my big buck of the three I killed. I don't think I posted it for like 2 weeks. It was one of the deer. I'm like, oh, shit. I think I messaged you. I'm like, oh, fuck. I forgot to post my deer. And I don't know if you're supposed to post them, but.
You know, it's like, and that's the thing. Like, even with our stuff now, I mean, somebody could just submit it on the internet and through the website, and we don't.
Not see
it. That's what's neat is, like, we're not connected to any platforms. So, like, guys that want to share and celebrate in the Facebook group, absolutely. Guys that want to share on their personal Instagram and just tag us or something. Go for it.
Right, right.
But the only thing they have to do is submit it through the website now.
Cool.
And so they don't, you know.
Might get more people to.
Now, I'm not saying we're not going to rip it from there if you shoot a 175 and like, oh.
And it's a beautiful photo.
And they're like, hey, like, you know. DA's like, he's giddy about it right now. He's like, I'm posting that thing. Mm-hmm. But that's
be a role model for photos. Clean, respectful.
Well, see,
look nice.
You know how earlier you were talking about that cold day in the off season that gets you? I might be a little strategic with psyche hits every now and then. Like, I wrote a post a couple days ago, the one about your teammate, and it just... Aaron's buck, and it just hits people, and you just see it start spreading.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, shoot a 175.
Aaron almost died. My teammate almost died last year. And he had a situation. He wears a safety harness every single set. And his buddy wanted to go sit in his set. So he's like, sure. Well, he goes over there and he doesn't have a lifeline. But like his other buddy's like, go sit in my set. So he goes in the other set and there's no lifeline. And no hookup or anything. He's got, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, he's basically sitting in a tree without a harness, you know.
Mm.
Freaking stand breaks. Falls straight down, lands on his freaking head, breaks his neck.
Oh.
Dude, if he wasn't a beast, like Aaron's a beast, like he's just a freaking, like, you know, he's wide shoulders, just blocky dude. If he didn't have all that mass, like he probably would have died.
Jeez.
And what I'm saying is, like, you know, like he didn't disclose all that in the thing. Aaron don't care, but like, you know, he struggled. Like he just knew. I mean, he was in a freaking neck thing and like was in the hospital for like 2 weeks and just it was a struggle.
Wow.
And like he's like, I'm freaking killing a deer with my bow. I'm doing it. And he's just like, just through the rut, like he can't hunt. He's sitting at home with a neck brace and he's got a broke neck. And but then he ended up shooting a very respectable mid-30s buck like late season in awesome. Ohio.
He'll never and forget that year.
Yeah, no way. Right. He never. He had to back off. Like he had Bo. He had to back down to like 55 pounds. Like he's. I mean, he's broke up, broke shoulder.
That 130 is like a 170.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And you know, I'm sure he cried like a baby after he shoots the thing. But like it's those kind of thing. Everybody knew what was going. Like everybody in the circles knew what was going on with Aaron.
Yeah.
And, you know he. You know he's got a family provider.
Shout out to Aaron.
He can't work like during this time. Right. I mean, it's a lot of stress. You know, and like
and the worst part is he's just sitting there with a broken neck.
Yeah. Watching everybody kill deer. Mm-hmm. He can't go to work. That's true. You know, he's
just
got,
sitting there.
He's got stuff to pay for during this time right. period. And but anyway, what I'm saying is like in this like DA said, people that knew Aaron. Knew what was going on and like, yep, like good job, Aaron. And he's still on my team and stuff. I told him he's got to shoot a bigger deer this year, but anyway, no more.
Hey, no excuses.
No, messing around.
No excuses this year.
We got to get in the top 10.
Get that guy some beta blockers, man. Yeah. You're going to be my beta blocker dealer from now on. Yeah.
Chad turned into a drug dealer on this episode.
Real fast. Beta blockers. Yeah. Oh, my. Hit us up. We got the guy. Vegas archery shootdown? Yeah. We got you.
Yep.
Go to the VA. Yeah, exactly. Good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, no shit. Well, our buddy Gino's told us lots of stories about the VA. It's like, man, how frustrating some of that stuff has got to be.
What's his last name by chance?
I don't want to shout him out for saying that.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you after. Great dude. You probably met him.
You met him.
Does he bow fish a lot?
No.
Okay.
You
different Gino.
Nicest dude on the planet.
Yep.
10-4.
Like you want to just hug him every time you see him.
Chad will hug him.
Oh, he'd hug you back.
So this guy, like
military guy, obviously. Yeah.
So I see him like once.
I hear a lot of struggles with the VA from a lot of my military friends.
All jokes aside.
Try working at the arsenal.
I see Chad like once every 6 months or a year or something. He damn near kills me when he shakes my hand, damn near rips my arm off, the whole thing. Like he's like,
it's all in good.
There's no 50%, you know, capacity. That's the thing.
Passion like, right there, man.
Yeah. He forgets he's 6'5" and 240.
Yeah.
And on beta blockers, so he doesn't know how hard it's squeezing your hand.
Jeez. Yeah.
He doesn't have any nerves.
Don't shake Doug's hand. He's a keyboard guy, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got strong hands.
I have strong hands from all the keyboards.
Carpal tunnel from hitting the space bar, you know what I'm saying? It's tough out here.
Get them bitch hands.
Guys, this has been a blast. It was like bow hunting league, hunting stories, BS session, to find performance enhancing drugs podcast, all in one. We had it all. What else do you want from a podcast?
Hey, and Lone Star.
Lone
Star, sponsored by Lone Star.
5.2 rating via Doug.
Yeah.
You guys want to close out with anything?
Yeah, I mean, just keep it simple. Bowhuntingleague.com. You can sign your team up there. If you have Facebook, find the Facebook group Bowhunting League. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook. Real simple to find us. Ask us any questions. You can PM me or DA. We're happy to help you. You can ask questions in the group. But if you already have two bow hunters, there's absolutely zero reason for you guys not to sign up. Just go. It's super easy. You go to the website, click sign up your team. All you need is email addresses. We don't need addresses or anything personal, and submit and get yourself signed up. Forget about it. Hey, sign up, forget about it until you smash a big deer and like, oh yeah, I signed up for that thing. Maybe I can win a bow now.
Good point.
Grow scores. Yep.
Real quick, if you don't have a team, if you don't have no one to sign up with you, you guys can match them up to some people too,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, we got a thread.
We have a thread right now. It's got over 300 people in it looking for teammates.
Yeah. So, now, I mean,
wouldn't you probably, it's like the app Grinder, but for hunters. Do you say that's comparable? You've been on that app. I've never been on.
I wouldn't know.
Oh, okay. Just check it. You can get in there and get a team member, right? A partner.
No.
What's it called again? What's that app, Doug?
I don't know. I never used it.
Oh, thought you've been on. You can find a partner real easy. Just go to the thread.
Yeah, just go to the thread. Anything, DA? Anything?
Hurry. He's like, hurry.
How many 200-inch deer are going to be killed in the contest this year, mustache?
Oh, shit. Calling him out.
How many teams are there
well
so far?
Well, we're at 200, and we'll probably
We'll be north of 800.
800? That's a lot of people.
Yeah, that's three to a team.
800 times three. I can't do math.
24. I'll give you numbers. We had.
I was going to guess Brown.
Entered last year. There was a third, but he missed the 10-day requirement. There were three the year before. So three to four.
You can't, like
three
you to can't four. Give him these stats. He's going right. to come off the clock.
800 teams.
He's really good in math.
How many teams will have one 200-inch deer?
Six.
Fuck. Nice. Wow. That's a lot. Shit, that's a high number.
And I'm one of them.
Oh. Nice.
Mic drop.
Hey, yo. That'd be hilarious. Sorry.
Somebody, hey, well, somebody's eating
Eric,
a chip.
Eric does it.
Hey, well, Eric fuck it. Me, right?
Well, you shoot it.
Hey,
yeah, your team.
Hey, hey, actually, we'll be part of that six, you know, because our team will have a 200 steer.
Two, 200?
No, that's something.
You win some big time.
Okay.
Well, hey, well, you know? If we shoot 200 steer, we're
shout out to Big Time for sponsor. Hey, if Team Illinois WCB locks in three 200-inch deer, can we have our faces put on the cover of the group for a year at least?
I'll give you a year, and I'll make WWE belts that say 2022-23 bow hunting league champion.
Absolutely.
Okay, so hear that, Austin Ross? We just all three of us.
I want one of those belts too.
Hey, if that's you all three kill 200 deer, Doug will get you all your face tattooed on his ass.
Okay, cool.
No.
All right. You want to throw in anything before we get the fuck out of here? We got to get out of here fast because things are going south.
10-4. No, I just get signed up and, you know, give it your all, and I'll see you at the showdown.
I love that.
Nice. He's going to be there. Hebner said he's going to be there. So.
Well, you're going to be at the Joe Rogan of the showdown, whether you're in it or not.
10-4.
Yeah, 10-4.
We're going to. Doug, Eric,
nope.
Anything?
Nope, thanks for coming on, guys.
Yeah, thanks fellas.
You get signed up. It's been an honor, truly.
You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.
Peace.